You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and thank you so much for joining us. Very, very important, jam-packed radio transmission today. It is Monday, the 13th day. And I appreciate everybody tuning in to this worldwide transmission. Again, the 13th day of July 2009. And we're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Joining us in 1 hour is Paul Joseph Watson. For the full hour, we are going to break down in greater detail than I did yesterday the incredible breaking news concerning the head of Obama's Office of Science over all the different scientific research and development programs of the federal government, which is close to 90% of all science and technology development in the United States, the military-industrial complex. Upwards of 90% of all research at universities, private corporations, you name it, is federal government funded with your tax money, and this is the guy directing it. And the individual that he authored the government policy book with was George W. Bush's technology advisor. So the issue here is that every time you turn over any rock in academia, I mean 9 times out of 10, in my experience, they are eugenicists. The reason this government policy textbook, this is a textbook for government leaders and academia, it's above PhD level, it's a textbook. The reason it's so important is that it puts everything that we've already found in globalist documents really in one place and is congruent and is full spectrum and breaks down the plan, the program, the operation to bring in a planetary regime, a world government, and to use carbon taxes and environmental rules to have forced abortion, the killing of babies after they're born, infanticide, drugging of the water, food, air. All children will be taken at birth by the state to be raised in government hives. This is what China adopted in 1981. They phased it in 1975. It began as the one-child policy. But the majority of children in China, in the large cities, the people are so destitute and so poor, they force them to live in government dormitories. And you get to see your family on the weekends. This is already happening here to a certain extent where, oh, you've got to work 2-3 jobs, parents, the man and the woman, to pay the taxes and try to survive financially. We'll keep your kids till 10 at night. First it was 5, then 6, then 7, then 8, then 9. Oh, we got after-school basketball and after-school reading programs and, oh, after-school indoctrination programs and after-school tattletale squads with the police. See, this is what's happening. And so we're going to break it all down today, the master plan. But having this document is so important. The story was reported on weeks ago by a neocon site, David Horowitz, Front Page Magazine, that loves to attack me. And he makes it all a left-wing thing. I'm sorry, Mr. Horowitz. It's across the political spectrum. It is the religion of the government control freaks. But look, anybody with half a brain knows this, Horowitz, so you know this. But regardless, we're glad he reported on it, but we actually got the book, put the scans up, now it's mega huge.
Big Brother, mainstream media,
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Show up a bit, change the way we do it here. We're just going to open the phones up right now at the beginning of the transmission. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And we will get you up and on the air today. Obviously, I want to discuss the fact that President Obama's science czar wrote a government policy book, textbook for leaders in government and academia, calling for a detailed plan to bring in a world planetary regime with eugenics police, CPS, that kidnap everyone's children, forced abortions, infanticide, euthanasia, forced drugging of the water supply, the food, inoculations, hell on earth. Now, I know that I constantly talk about this, but I talk about a UN biological diversity assessment, or I talk about State Department Memorandum 200, or I discuss a book written by Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, or I talk about Prince Bernhard, founder of Bilderberg, and a Nazi talking about how we need to exterminate everyone, or Dr. Eric Pianka, or Dr. Peter Singer, and how they get standing ovations and worldwide awards for saying kill 90% of the public, or how their graduate students send me threatening emails with links proudly to their PhDs saying kill everyone. But how am I supposed to get up here on air and even talk about Sonia Sotomayor, who's had most of her rulings overthrown by the Supreme Court, as bad as that court is? She did say it doesn't matter if a white person does better on a test, you don't get the job. That got overthrown. I mean, that's a big issue. Or, for that matter, a black person that does better, or a Hispanic person, or an Asian. What about Asians? They generally score the highest. You don't get a job if you're Chinese or Japanese, I guess. But if you're a Hispanic who gets a high score, sorry. If another minority, which are really the majority worldwide, wants the job, they get it. Why a lot of folks, why there's such white flight from California, because with all the draconian Soviet rules there, there's not many jobs you can get. But that's all part of government control. That's all part of domestication. That's all part of bankrupting everybody and driving you into the hands of the government, where you can't get a job, so you just go on welfare. Now you can be sterilized. Now you can have your children CPS'd. Now you can get the mandatory home visits. And all of that goes back to eugenics. When you study the head of Health and Human Services, or the head of science, or the head of drug policy, or the heads of all these state and federal agencies, and the heads of the biology departments, and the heads of the psychology departments, and the head of the mathematics department. I mean, I went to community college for 2 years, and every class, it didn't matter if it was calculus, it didn't matter if it was psychology 101, it didn't matter if it was anthropology, it didn't matter if it was Texas history, it didn't matter if it was U.S. history, every class at the ACC North Campus I went to was how we all have to intermarry how anyone marrying someone of their own color is evil, how the Second Amendment is bad, how world government is good, how psychologist Skinner locking his kid in a pit for years till he died was beautiful, how there's too many of us, the people bomb, how we've all got to be exterminated. And I was sitting there watching this and listening to this, and I'd read all these books, all these history books, and I knew what this was. And then I would go home and watch CNN, and they'd say, there's crazy people believe there's a plan for world government, and there's crazy people believe Bill Clinton wants their guns. And there's crazy people that believe the government slaughtered everybody at Waco and that Delta Force was there. And then I'd read the Congress's own reports and the Delta Force documents. And I just said, why should I even be here? I was about to go into UT. I'd gone and sat in on some classes, gone and looked at their RTF department. And it was even worse. And I said, pay tens of thousands of dollars a year to be taught how to be a global slave? People ask how I woke up to the New World Order. I mean, go to any college, any community college. And ladies and gentlemen, since then, I have gone and just spot checked. I've never found a university head of a big establishment government or state-funded university. I've never seen a biology department or psychology department head who wasn't openly a eugenicist, openly saying sterilize the population, get rid of most humans, bring in world government, confiscate everybody's guns, have every facet of your life chronicled, tracked, traced, and micromanaged, as Nancy Pelosi has now said they'll do under the carbon tax system in a speech in China. I mean, this is the only issue. This is all there is. This is the ruling elite don't hire you as the head of a psychology department. The ruling elite don't hire you. It's a club, and we ain't in it, as George Carlin would say. It's a big club, and we ain't in it. Now, my dad, they tried to recruit into it. That's nothing special. He was top of his class in high school and then had really high test scores, and they tried to recruit him and a few others that were part of this advanced curriculum search being done in high schools across the country. And anybody and everybody I've had on, professors, climatologists, scientists, who are fighting this now outside of academia, I mean, they don't even let you be a professor usually. They'll run you out. And we've had them on. It's been in the news. But the issue is, you don't get into one of those positions unless you buy into the cult idea. Now, I'm not debating Darwinism. I'm not debating that species change and that you can breed a dog, you can breed a wolf, a European wolf, to look like a little French bulldog with big bat ears and a cute face with spots on it. I think there is creation. And it's been proven that evolution, the way it's presented, is a fraud and a lie. But my issue is, I'm not debating the central religious tenet of the New World Order. I want people who follow Darwinism to understand it is the gateway into your real religion. Because out of that comes the eugenics, Galton and the rest of them who were married into the family and worked with the progenitor of the theory of evolution, Darwin. And then they develop social Darwinism, where the elites need to kill and enslave and dominate the population. And that is a moral thing to do because we're scum, because we're not in the elite positions. That proves our worthlessness. That proves that we're not worthy to even live. And so anything they do to us is a favor to the species overall. Now, that is the not dominant, but almost universal, more than dominant, hyper-dominant, nearly universal, accepted, received, not even questioned, elitist, control freak mindset of academia that then educates the elites for every other position in the economy, in the human strata of civilization. And so if you're a professor that argues with any of this, you are drummed out, you are driven out, you don't get research money, you don't get your book published, you don't get invited to the big conferences, but when you get up, like Dr. Peter Singer or Dr. Eric Pianka or the science czar, John Holdren, you get standing ovations with the professors and scientists crying. This isn't science. This is control freak pressing on the nerve of power religion. This is a death cult. This is a control freak cult on a wild power trip, rationalizing all of their psychopathic delusions of grandeur as if it's a gift to humanity and the planet. And they are poisoning each and every one of our food and water on record. They are poisoning our air on record now. They are openly bankrupting the countries of the planet publicly by design to make you dependent, to lower the standard of living, not for the earth, but so that you're dependent on them so they can restrain you while they kill you. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I get mad about Michael Jackson being the second biggest story in the 21st century? Because it doesn't matter. If you love your children, you love your wife, you love your husband, you better wake up to eugenics and find out it's the number one thing that affects every facet of your life. It is the religion, the thought process. It is everything to the elite that are killing us. All right, friends. I'm going to cover eugenics in the entire next hour with Paul Watson. And Manny Badillo is going to join us for about 30 minutes. He lost his uncle in the attack on 9-11, the military-industrial complex attack, the false flag attack. And he's got some big breaking news on the show coming up today. He was in some internal hearings dealing with the whitewash hearings coming up of the supposed 9-11 patsies, and the government had to admit they have no evidence against the people. That's why Obama's saying they can't release them, though. So he's trying to set up the precedent for there being pre-crime in this country. Just indefinitely held forever, not even charged, not even tried. That's why they're saying even if they're found not guilty, they'll still be held for life, or until they agree to carry out terror attacks for the globalist. That's what these camps are really all about, to get operatives. So they mainly grab 14-year-olds as the one of the age groups they like to grab. They can torture them and get a good operative out of it. And then G. Edward Griffin will also be joining us to talk about a host of issues coming up in the last hour today. The climate tax and the New World Order and stage terror and what he sees the globalists trying to do. We're going to go live for the last 3 hours of the four-hour show today, simulcast at prisonplanet.tv. But I want to go to Bill, Nick, Robert, Mark, Adam, and others. And I would hope you'd want to discuss the article that Paul Watson wrote that's been the most detailed, dealing with the science czar over all technological development in the federal government. That means 90% of technological development in the United States, because the government funds most of it, as Eisenhower warned us in his farewell address in 1960. Beware the undue influence of the military-industrial complex. Now they were trying to set up a police state, which they've now done. Scientific dictatorship by these boys. I would hope you want to discuss that. You know, we posted a David Bowie song I'd never heard from 1967. It's up on prisonplanet.com. And I may air it later. You know, I try to have a really, really clean show. He says some super... well, it's a side issue. I may just air it just to document that the fact that people are so aware of this. And he made a movie. I saw it once when I was in high school. In fact, I meant to look this up this morning. It's a science fiction movie that has a lot of eugenics parallels in it. The Man Who Fell to Earth, I think, is the name of it. And the whole song is about how the elite are making it up. There's not enough resources and plan to forcibly sterilize and have forced abortions and kill us and poison our water supply. I mean, David Bowie knew this in 67. And I know why, hanging out with the elites in England and the U.S., that's all they talk about. I mean, that's all that's discussed. And then they're minions. I mean, if you can't go to community college without all they talk about is how they want to kill everybody, this is a death cult of dangerous scum. And it is true to a certain extent what David Horowitz from Front Page Magazine is saying. I can't believe I'm agreeing with him. He attacks me perpetually. That it's liberal. I mean, when you get into liberals and Democrats and intelligentsia and psychologists, I'd say 95% of them are into it. And then when you talk about conservatives, it's about 95% when you talk about high-level conservatives, but only about 50% on-the-street conservatives. So it is kind of the receive knowledge. It is the it just accept it as if it's just a fact. They don't even question that there's too many people and we got to have a world government to exterminate everybody. And then because they're part of the team and feel like it's for the betterment, they will then go on the news and lie about it. They'll say, oh, Alex Jones is insane. He believes there's a plan to get rid of the population. That crazy guy thinks that we're putting stuff in the water. And it's a big, and they attack us all. That's like mainstream news still writes articles saying I'm lying that Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones and Bilderberg don't exist. While simultaneously other big publications say, yeah, there's a super class and we run things and there's a world government. And it's authoritarian, but it's a good authoritarian. You know, it's for your own good. So, see, a lot of these minions revel. I mean, they may only be making $80,000 a year as a professor. But it's the peer pressure. It's that they're part of an accepted group, that they sit around and go, and thousands of their minutes are public. It's sad. I know killing everybody is a little upsetting, and I'm even ready to go when my time comes. These are actual quotes from Priyanka. And it just has to be done. Like, what did Jacques Cousteau say right before he died? He said, it's horrible to say that 365,000 people have to be killed today to save the earth, but it's even more horrible not to say it. And it's like, oh, we've got to kill everybody, gee, and we've got to lie to them. We can't upset the wild humans. We're the big eggheads, and we know best. We've got to keep it from them just long enough till we're ready to launch the bio attack. Stay with us. The Washington Post is reporting that they're going to try to give forced inoculations to every child in America. Coming up this winter when they fearmonger about the swine flu again. Yeah, let's take inoculations that have killed people over and over again in the last two swine flu outbreaks in 1918 and 1976. Both broke out at U.S. military bases. We got a government that thousands of times admittedly has tested chemicals, biologicals, and radiologicals on our own troops, killing them premeditatedly in many cases. This is a group that gave black men syphilis, let them die over it over 40-plus years. Again, I just used some of the more popularly known examples. Yeah, let's go roll our sleeves up when the president's science advisor says we can put stuff in their food, water, vaccines to sterilize them. And people are coming down with all these cancers and brain disorders, directly proven in many cases to be from the vaccines. Oh, Bayer Pharmaceutical knowingly shipped out over 1 million ampules of factor VIII, filled every shot with live HIV and hepatitis. In fact, I want to play that next hour, guys. We go to YouTube and just get it queued up. Bayer Factor VIII blood scandal. We'll get it for you. There's a bunch of clips. Get the MSNBC one with Mr. Scarborough. Because people out there may not believe me, but they'll believe him. And the reason I bring that up is they're killing us deader than hammers. They don't care about your life. In fact, they see you as a negative. Life isn't cheap to these people. Life is a negative when it's Homo sapiens sapien. And I'm sorry you didn't wake up in Kansas, folks. You woke up in hell, and the sky's blue, the trees are green. It's a beautiful day out there, but monsters are lurking everywhere, and it's called the government. And they've got a lot of well-meaning idiot bureaucrats and police and others who think they're the good guys and don't know they're working for psychopathic killers. Now, cops, are you smart enough to decompartmentalize and look around you at the big picture? Because let me tell you, they're putting the stuff in your water too, buddy boy. You could sit there and laugh all day, but I wouldn't laugh with your own life. I swear on my honor. I swear on my children. I swear on my eternal soul. I'm telling you the truth. If I'm lying about this, well, they say you're not supposed to tempt God, but the issue is I'm telling you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And there's no doubt God has sent me and plenty of other great people. I'm just some loudmouth, but I'm here doing a decent job, I think, to give you a warning and let you know what's going on. Now, you can buy the delusion. You can buy the illusion. People get into being ignorant. It's almost like it's a moral value, a positive thing to be idiotic, to be shallow, to be uninformed, to not care. I listen to talk radio. It's either left wing or right wing, compartmentalized, playing us off against each other, divide and conquer, or more and more radio is programming towards mindless gibbering. Now, because conservative shows can't talk about sex and strippers and sex shows on radio, I'm hearing a lot of formerly conservative shows just kind of go off into mindless diversions and entertainment. And I even hear program directors and see articles written by consultants saying, oh, let's shift into, because things are bad in the economy, into entertainment. So I listen to local radio and they're talking about dirty sex acts this morning on conservative news stations. And giggling and laughing, and it's bad to care about issues, and it's weird to be informed. Listen to me. Grow up, men. I know it's scary to admit that there is a group running the government on a planetary scale. They're mopping up the last few standalone countries right now. Government's always bad in history. Yeah, the mullahs are terrible, but they're sure not putting sterilization hormones in their water. They're mopping up the last few countries that aren't under globalist control. You know what Muammar Gaddafi had to do for the CIA to stop trying to overthrow him with MI6 on record? He had to let the World Health Organization in to take over health operations in Libya. And then it came out there giving them HIV-filled shots, and you'll have entire hospitals where they vaccinate kids and all the kids get HIV. That's in the news. Mainstream news. I mean, this is... You see, when you submit your people to death, the New World Order leaves you alone. China said, hey, we'll kill our population, we'll kill babies, we'll have one-child policies, we'll let you in certain cities test chemicals and biologicals in the water. I talked to a top computer programmer who's involved mid-level with the Republican Party. He agreed to come on and then backed out and got scared. I've known him for more than 12 years. And he said he'd been doing contracts in Singapore and that they test drugs in the water on a neighborhood by neighborhood. The government's doing that. That Singapore is the real test ground along with China. And I've got government documents that mention that, but here he was saying he worked on programs right beside those programs. He said, yeah, I'll come on. If you want a hint to who he is, he was on the show many years ago. He won't come on about it now, and then he won't even talk to me. I think he got threatened. But the issue here is they're putting stuff in your water. And if you think that's cute and funny, if you like all these well-meaning, trusting people that see the TV and radio ads and go out and get their flu shots every year, and you meet 45, 50-year-old people that take their flu shots that can't remember their name and are already basically biological robots that have been given chemical lobotomies, I mean, it isn't funny, folks. I go to the grocery store. I go to the gym. I was at the gym yesterday, and there were probably 15 people in the gym working out. It's a the small neighborhood gym. And two different groups came in with people on walkers who were no more than 25 years old, both of them, separately. And I just couldn't control myself. I ignored one woman. I was about to go up and say, did this happen after you took shots? Or when did this happen? Or what's wrong with you? All these different disorders they meet out. And I controlled myself and did, but when I was done, one of them was going out to the parking lot. So I just walked over to her car and I asked her, you know, when did all this happen? She said, oh, I was about 20. Well, do you have any idea what did it? And no, there's no history of it in my family. And I said, did you have a seizure after you had some vaccines? And the lady started getting tears in her eyes. And she said, I've heard about that. They say that could be it. And then she rolled the window up and started crying and drove off. I am literally, oh my God, I can't handle it anymore. It's almost like even doing this show lessens it. Just even calmly talking about it. We should be in sackcloth, begging God for forgiveness, everywhere in sit-ins, just chanting at the government facilities, we know you're killing us, we know you're killing us, we know you're killing us. I mean, they're all on record. It's total insanity. It's going on everywhere. And the men are all a bunch of, you know, with their chest sticking out, acting tough, but think that it's cool to be ignorant and not involved. Men are supposed to protect their women and children. Men are supposed to be informed and aware and involved. And I'm not on some high horse here. I'm not even that special of a person. That's what I don't understand. I mean, I've got thousands of government documents. We cover scores of them every week. Government textbooks, policy reports. I'm about to go to your calls. I know I said I would. It's like last year, I went on air and I said, I remember seeing a textbook that they use in Texas over a decade ago where it said the family belongs to the age of barbarism and is a disease. And then I even remember the name of the textbook, Calhoun Reader. And then nobody believed me. I got all these emails saying I was a liar because I couldn't find the textbook. I mean, I've got like four storage sheds now full of books and documents and videos just rotting out in the heat. But the Prison Planet Forum people found just scores. I know it was more than 50 textbooks and links and scans and articles and statements where the family's a disease. We've got to get rid of it. It's horrible. We've got to break it up. We've got to get rid of it. It's terrible. And then I randomly walk up last week and grab an Atlantic Monthly with the idea to just see what was in it off the Barnes & Noble shelf, and it's got an article in here saying, get rid of marriage, it's bad. And the whole thing's about global carbon taxes and chemtrailing, how chemtrailing may save the earth. And then today, there's an article in the New York Times attacking having children and families and saying it's bad, be selfish, don't get married, don't have kids, called Does Having Children Make You Happy? Folks, I'm not even looking in this, and I'm drowning in it. I'm not even looking for it. It's everywhere. It's a total cult. They run almost everything. They love it. They love the power trip that they're on the inside and know about the plan to sterilize everybody and kill everybody. And let me tell you, when you get around these professors and these globalists, they only eat organic, they only drink highly filtered water, reverse osmosis or distilled. They're all obsessed with it, and they sit there with pleasure watching everyone being poisoned and get off on it. These are the ultimate criminals against humanity. They are sickening, degenerate filth. Don't take their vaccines. Don't drink their water and don't eat their processed food, and understand the head technology czar of the entire country wrote a government textbook proposing how to carry out a planetary government to take your children and to sterilize them, and how to put it in your water and food, and how to put implants in you to control you. It's 1,100 pages. We got it posted up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Now, it was posted Saturday. Paul's doing another article, but we need to repost the original up on Prison Planet and InfoWars on the main page. But the title of the article, where you can then go read the book for yourself, is Obama Science Advisors Called for Planetary Regime to Enforce Totalitarian Population Control Measures. And as of this morning, if you Google the name of this bastard, John Holdren, and click Google News, Paul Watson's story is the number one link, meaning it's gotten the most hits and views. World Dent Daily has copied us and done a story on it. I'm glad. Good job. Of course, they didn't source us, and they made it a front-page magazine issue about how it's the left that wants to do this. No, it's system-wide. See, if we just blame the left for being a bunch of murdering eugenicists, we don't stop it. It's both parties. Nixon was heavy into it. Bush Sr., the last Bush, Clinton. It doesn't matter. Tory, Labor, it doesn't matter. Social Democrat in Germany or conservative or socialist. It doesn't matter what party. There's only one country I know of that isn't part of this, and I know they're corrupt and bad and do a lot of bad stuff. There's one country that publicly admits this is going on and says they're not part of it. They do it quietly, and they pay people to have children, and that's Russia. And they've got news articles and reports saying the communists were paid by foreign banks to sterilize the Russian people, just like China and North Korea, and now they pay you to get married and have kids. And they have big mass public weddings. And they even have mass breeding parties, which is something Hitler did, and it's somewhat immoral, but it's better than the entire group dying. And Russia has mass breeding events now because they're standing up. My God, when Russia is the only thing with half a grain of sanity, I don't know what we're going to do, God. I don't know what we're going to do, God. Listen, you stupid liberal getting your Starbucks coffee, acting smart, think you know it all with your carbon credit sticker on the back of your car saying, my car is offset by carbon credits. Listen, jackass, they're killing your kid, they're killing you. It isn't cute and it isn't funny. Now, maybe you haven't been let in on the full story. You just know, well, of course there's too many people. Yes, according to your worldview, that's a fact. It isn't. But you're being hit by it too, dummy. Don't you love your little child more? You're shooting up with the cancer viruses more than you love your phony environmental crud? It has nothing to do with the environment. All right. I said I was getting to this next hour. I could talk for 20 hours on this. I can't sleep over this. And then I find a government textbook written by the science czar that lays out everything we reverse engineered word for word. Now, get this straight. I'm not tooting my horn when I say I reverse engineered this. There's thousands of government documents and reports and statements, and they all say the same thing. And they've all proposed it, but they do it in a piece here, a piece there. This is all in one textbook. The next best thing to see the whole picture is the 1996 Biological Diversity Assessment officially passed as law and policy by the United Nations. That's got it all, too, but it's only 91 pages. This thing is 1,100 pages, and I've only gotten through 200 and something because I'm busy trying to make a film, do radio shows, and I'm fighting as hard as I can, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. Cops, you're running around being told fear for your life from gun owners and veterans and conservatives. Meanwhile, we got a bunch of control freaks, scientific dictators, that's what they call themselves, running things that openly say in thousands of quotes and books and documents that they're putting crap in our water and food and air, and we've caught them doing it. They're killing you, too. They're probably, listen, they don't like me covering this. I'm risking my life telling you this stuff, folks. And doing it with a large platform, but I don't care. I care about humanity more. I know the species lives on. I'm more worried about innocent people being killed and children being enslaved and people being forcibly sterilized than I am about getting killed. And people call that heroic. That's called basic human spirit. Because I know I'm going to grow old and die, folks. I only care about my children and their grandchildren and everybody else's kids. I care about the species. I realize I'm a flash in the pan, but the species lives forever. You know that quote from Full Metal Jacket? We ought to try to find it and play it. I don't know the exact quote, but you may go to war. You may die, but the Marine Corps lives forever. Well, that's a mere shadow of a human instinct you already know and understand. I am going to die, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't want our species being seized by a bunch of transhumanist technocrats to play God. That's what they say they're doing, to manipulate and change our species as they see fit and cull the majority of us so a bunch of selfish bastards get to go forward into future and the rest of us don't. A bunch of psychos get to go forward. They call that evolution. And then wall us off from the future. And I mean, it's a horrible crime. And so let me tell you, it is not a sacrifice if I get killed in this. It is an honor and a great blessing. This is what I was born for. It's what you were born for, is to stand up for the tribe, stand up for the human species, to love the species, and reach for the stars. And listen, all the blood that was spilt into the ground of our forefathers for liberty and freedom, it beats in us right now in our hearts. I am those founding fathers, and so are you. I am Andrew Jackson, and so are you. So they kill me, it doesn't matter. As long as the species goes on, I live on in my brethren to come. How many times has the government lied to you? How many evil things they've been caught doing? How many times did I tell you they want a planetary government to carry out our orderly extermination? And here's Obama's technology czar authoring a government textbook for PhD and above of how to do it. They mean business, and they are doing it. They are attacking you physically right now on record. Now, if you want to get upset about that, I think that's the thing to do. Or if you want to call me a conspiracy theorist and stick your thumb in your mouth, my God, you got a problem. That's all I can say. Bill in Vegas and everybody else. Bill, thanks for holding her on the air.
Thank you, Alex. You risk your life and you do what you do so that Americans and their children can live in a free society with liberty. You and Thomas Jefferson are my greatest heroes. You're the greatest patriot walking the planet.
No, you are. Again, look, I'm just trying to survive, and I want to explain something. This isn't even about keeping our liberties now. This is about surviving. They get this planetary government in, they're going to start having larger soft kill weapon releases, manufactured flus and things. This flu thing is just a drill to test their globalization, federalization, to carry out the kill op. All this is a test. Go ahead.
Well, I also had the privilege of meeting both Ron Paul and Adam Kokesh at the Freedom Fest last week. I was wishing you would be there. I know you couldn't, but... I did manage to meet the local chapter of the 9/11 group, and there's only a couple of members. I was hoping if I could shout out my email to anyone listening in Vegas, if they want to join us, please email me at billybones51@hotmail.com, billybones51@hotmail.com, and let's get some together. I mean, beginning last summer, I've been going mostly by myself with my microphone, portable amp, and flyers talking about 9/11 and the elites, and other than being beaten up by neocons once or twice and the sheeple not caring at all about what I'm saying, the police never really hassled me other than telling me to turn my mic off. They once actually defended my First Amendment right against a neocon. Do you think it would be smart, though, to write a respectable letter of intent maybe to the police chief, telling him of my intentions just in case, and also informing him of Oath Keepers, you know, in a respectable way? Do you think that would be smart?
Sure. I mean, it's always important to stand up, and you should get some support and people to stand with you. So I hope folks will check out your email. Take care, Bill. Speaking of action, 9/11 Truth, We Are Change, all these other groups are confronting Biden and Obama and senators and Congress people everywhere. I'm seeing amazing videos every day now where citizens are getting active and handing out the Obama deception and other films and taking action, and I just salute you. It is that spirit of taking action and knowing it's going to have an effect and having faith in your actions that's going to bring down the New World Order. You know, I didn't go to the Kansas City Liberty meeting. I didn't go to the Minnesota ones. I didn't go to the Las Vegas ones, because it would become a distraction and a diversion if I was there. And let's face it, Ron Paul's kind of the doorway into reality. he doesn't get into a lot of the really hardcore issues like eugenics. You know, there's a lot of Ron Paul supporters out there who were mainline Republicans and Democrats who like Ron Paul's message that's pretty much milquetoast compared to mine. It's a great message. It's the doorway. It's not the big secret inside that we got psychopathic killers running things that want to kill everybody. Now, I've read some of his writings in the 80s. Ron Paul knew this back then. But Ron Paul's trying to have a mass appeal. And so I'm not going to get a lot done going to a big Ron Paul event. You can go and give my films out materials. But there's probably 20-30% of people that are at those events that see me, and it's just horrifying to them. Because, see, they're cowards. Some of the mainline Ron Paul supporters, they don't know just how serious this stuff is.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, I ended the last hour talking about a lot of people in the liberty movement, the freedom movement. Don't like the fact I talk about eugenics or the global plan to exterminate the majority of the population. But see, you can't pick and choose reality. You can't say, oh, that sounds crazy, so I'm not going to look into it. Everything I've said has been completely validated in triplicate by the giant textbook that's now emerged, 1,100 pages, written by one of George Bush's science advisors and Congress's science advisor. That's his co-author. His co-author. And then now Obama's head of all science, the science czar, John P. Holdren, wrote a plan in 77, a textbook with another big neocon. It's bipartisan on how to carry out global extermination, how everyone's children will be CPS'd. Everyone's! By the psychiatrist guild, who will then decide if your child's going to be sterilized or ever allowed to have children to be assessed, and if you're allowed to have your child on the weekends. These bastards are waging war on the family, and the New York Times has an article today about how horrible it is to have children, any children, because they know you owe allegiance to your family. They want you to owe allegiance to the state. They want to take control of society and kill us. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. They want us to die. What do you want from us, New World Order? We want you dead. Well, now you know the fight. No quarter. Toe-to-toe combat with a psychopathic dictatorship, a scientific dictatorship. And sucking your thumb and being into Republican or Democratic politics isn't gonna fix it. You understand me? Nick in North Carolina, you're on the air.
On fire as usual, and deservedly so. I got a talking point I want to kind of throw back at you, but first I have an old news story that's now relevant again that is too important not to mention. I mentioned this to Burmese a month ago, and he actually found the article and sourced it. It was from Guardian UK, and you'll probably not be able to find it because it's kind of buried. But it was from
okay, whatever. What's it say?
Yeah, it was written by the vice president of Rothschild Group International, and it was carbon credits could bring in a new world order, a sustainable new world order. And in the article, he said he hoped that the carbon credits could actually replace gold as the world reserve currency.
No, that was that was a Dubai newspaper. And it was Lord Rothschild, and he said, we're going to have a world government through the carbon tax and the carbon credits. And absolutely, that was in the Dubai newspaper. I forget the name of it.
Well, I think there was another one that was actually written by the VP of Rothschild Group, and it was in The Guardian. But I'll try to email it to you. But anyway, I kind of wanted to do a talking point with you. Just I was listening to the Friday episode with Tarpley and Chapman and all that, and it got me kind of fired up. And some of the reading I've been doing, like I started reading America's Secret Destiny the other day, and I'm really kind of confused, Alex. I'd like for you to kind of expound on this. Where the disconnect, or in other words, what the hell happened? Where is the discrepancy between what's written on paper as what these guys claim and what our founding fathers went through, and knowing that they were connected to the Masons and all that? Where is the disconnect between what they claim is like this global destiny for a world democratic federation of, you know, happy-dappy people, And then this murderous plot of just, you know.
Well, they tell the local professors and the psychologists that it's a loving world government. And yeah, we got to sterilize some people, but it's for the greater good. That's kind of outer party propaganda that the outer party members. You got the proletariat. You got the outer party. That's what Winston Smith is part of. And then you've in 1984. And then you've got the inner party. And this is how the Nazis and the Soviets and others have operated. The Chi-Coms operate this way. You have an outer and an inner party. And the inner party is just, we're cold-blooded, ruthless. We want to kill everybody, so we have the live extension for ourselves. But how do they get the professors and the minions to go along with them? They tell them they're going to be part of that elite, and it's all just going to be a great utopia with them wandering around in white togas. You understand?
It's all obfuscation.
Yeah, no, and when you get into the higher level documents that are even public, they're going to kill 99%. It's hardcore death.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Monday, July 13, 2009. For the next 2 hours and 52 minutes, we're simulcasting the last 3 hours at PrisonPlanet.tv. I want to thank everybody that are PrisonPlanet.tv members. They get the show live, streamed, and then also the Sunday show now, 4 to 6 p.m. We went into overdrive for 20 minutes last night covering eugenics. I know that we have Robert, Mark, Adam, Ryan, and many others that are holding. We're going to get to your calls, 1-800-259-9231. But I want to get into eugenics. And more I realize I'm going to have to found an organization. I'm going to have to get members. We're going to have to start organizing. I've never wanted to organize. I never wanted to run for political office. I've never wanted to be a leader. But I've got to step up to the plate. I meant to make this as a big announcement, but I'll just let you know that when my new film's done and my book I'm working on is done, I'm going to shift gears, maybe even away from filmmaking, maybe away from everything, and just form organizations and groups, kind of like We Are Change or 9/11 Truth. But we need a 9/11 Truth or a We Are Change to go out and talk about eugenics and give people their own quotes, their own documents, and warn people. They're poisoning your water. Here's their own statements from the head of the federal government. You know, here's the, ladies and gentlemen, we know they're doing it. I mean, nothing else matters. You know, I can't go to a movie now. I can't go out to eat now at a nice restaurant. I can't even go with my children to swim in a spring or a local pool. There are a lot of great springs here in Central Texas. I can't go camping. I can't go see family. I can't do anything. All I can do is know they're poisoning the water and the air and killing us by design, and the White House admits it. The White House head of technology. I mean, how do I go on and act like everything's normal? How do I go on and, oh, yeah, they're killing us. Hey, did you see the tennis match this weekend? I mean, I'm the normal one. I'm normal. And I got the Wall Street Journal and Psychology Today and other foreign magazines and newspapers call me, or they show up here, and I'm giving them government documents about the plans to exterminate us, and they just don't even look at them. They go, oh, I don't believe that. This isn't a radio show. This isn't about having fun and being an entertainer and up here getting attention and ooh, being the big radio guy. There was a little bit of that when I started out 14 years ago in 1995. All of that worldliness has burned away. Sometimes I try to get in a good mood and have fun because I'm human, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed when I make fun of somebody. I'm embarrassed when I get off into a side issue. I catch myself up here screwing around at night when I'm working on a film because it's hard to work 16, 17, 18 hours and stay serious. And I'll look at my watch, and for 30 minutes we start shooting the bull about women or fishing or hunting. And I catch myself watching Brock Lesnar in there, you know, on a rip off the web twice and watching deer hunting videos. And I look up and an hour's passed and I'm like, oh, I better go fight the New World Order. So I understand you want to divert and distract and not face this and not deal with it. I understand that you want to have a life. I'm sorry. We're not going to fix this till people make this important and put it front and center. What I'm saying is people have been trained to kind of accept highways and roads and lights and power and computers and clothes and devices as if they just grow on trees and as if nobody's steering the world and that you just react to the world as a spectator and that you just kind of go through life and drive your car and go to the grocery store and go home and take care of your kids and family and go out and have fun. And it's kind of like a wonderland. It isn't a wonderland. They're building FEMA camps all around us. They're openly saying they want to kill us. They're openly setting up a police state. And I'm going to go over it the next hour with Paul Watson. Then we've got a guest coming on in the next hour with some big breaking news on 9/11. And then G. Edward Griffin's coming on as well. I'll get him to talk about eugenics and a host of other issues. He's been fighting for 45 years, a great icon in the Liberty Movement. So that's in the last hour today, joining us from his home in California. But right now, for this hour and a little bit into the next, Paul Joseph Watson, because he can calmly and collectively go over his detailed 18-page report with then screenshots and links to the book itself. Go read the book. You know, we don't just put a text version up there because people will deny it. Here is his textbook written by him that he co-authored with Bush's, one of Bush's favorite technology people. And everything we claim in this article is footnoted. And so Paul Watson's now going to go over this. And let me explain something, folks. When I start griping and complaining about Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson's death, second biggest story of century, not the million dead Iraqis, not 9/11, not global financial meltdown, not the Beijing Olympics, not Hurricane Katrina, not Pope John Paul II dying, not the tsunami, but Michael Jackson dying. That's why this is sick. That's why this is sick. Folks, when I get up here and I talk about diversions and distractions, I mean, it is insane. They on record. Here's just one point of thousands, and this is why my head spins. I have seen a whole bunch of mainstream news articles from Reuters and AP and others. AP every year does this detailed report where they test the water of over 100 major cities. And Dallas and Las Vegas and L.A. and other major cities had higher levels of Prozac-type serotonin reuptake inhibitors and other drugs in it, as well as birth control, female birth control hormone, than was physically possible from runoff and sewage. And then they've done other studies, and they don't say what this means in the article, though it's clear, 2 plus 2, and then they don't tell you the answer. You know it's 4. That aquifers and water supplies and even small town supplies that don't have runoff going into it have the female hormones for sterilization, for birth control. That's what they give you is the hormone, the pregnancy hormone, the hormone that says I'm pregnant. It's a combo of those. And the woman doesn't have babies. It's not a sterilization. It's a blocking. They're putting that in there and they're putting Prozac in. Then I can show you the Japanese government just on this one subject for hours saying they want to put Prozac in the water. And then I can show you UN documents saying put Prozac in the water. And then movies like Serenity with predictive programming where the government puts the Prozac into the atmosphere. But then 1% have the side effect of turning into reavers. The issue is then I can show you how they're throwing it in your face all over culture. I've got films from the 70s where they're talking about we're going to have a world government and exterminate the people. I can play you a 1967 David Bowie song where he's talking about openly how the elite want to exterminate us and sterilize us to control the future and control life extension. I mean, David Bowie knew this in 67. I'm not telling you some secret. This thing is all the elite talk about, all they do. World government is only the means to the end to carry out the extermination. And there's thousands of points. Thousands of these points. I can go right down the line on every one of these points, and I can back up every single issue I say. I can go on for 10 hours just on stuff in the water and where they've been caught doing it. You understand they're jacking your water with the Prozac, the basic Prozac molecule, a Prozac type drug. Do you understand they're putting hormones in it to sterilize you? To block you being able to get pregnant? Do you understand this? They're doing this, and this is what we know about. They're now saying they want to put statins in the drugs and make two-year-olds take statins, which screw up your liver. Folks, this is real. Let's go to Paul Watson. Paul, I'm going to try to sit back and shut up and just write notes as you talk, but I want you to calmly, because I tend to go down rabbit trails at each point of this, go over this bastard. Paul Watson joining us from the United Kingdom, which is the command base and the foundation of the planetary eugenics movement. Paul Watson.
Hello, Alex. Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Yeah, the main shocker that came out of the rediscovery of this book, Eco-Science, written by Obama's top science and technology advisor in 77, and a book which Holdren is happy to be photographed with in his own library, as we've got that picture on top of the article that we posted on Saturday. He's never backed away from the statements made in the book. And I mean, that was the original claim that deniers tried to say, oh, this was 30-plus years ago.
No, in his first press conference, he displayed it behind him. It's all by itself, right there in the shelf behind him. Oh, look, oh.
But people will, you know, they'll try to find a reason to deny it, because it is that shocking that when Front Page Magazine did a story about it back in February, it got basically no attention because people didn't believe it, because they didn't have actual screenshots of the book and segments of the pages.
Well, plus, David Horowitz is a neocon who calls for torture, and so he's so discredited and routinely attacks us that no one takes him serious. But when we broke it, it did get taken serious.
Right. So if it's in Horowitz's publication, then it can be skewed into a left-right issue, which isn't the case, as you've said, because Republicans were involved in this as well, like George H.W. Bush. But the main shocker contained in Eco-Science, from my perspective and from many people's perspective, I would guess, is the part where Holdren and his co-authors call for, propose the idea. Now, they're making these proposals, they're committing them to paper. The other thing I hear is, oh, just because they wrote about them doesn't mean they advocate them. Well, if you
no, this book is a treatise, textbook level, 1,100-page battle plan.
And it's putting forward proposals with which to carry out population reduction. These are proposals. The most shocking one, quote, adding a sterilant to drinking water or staple food. And we'll get into why that is already happening.
And
right
listen,
now.
If you're a black man, if you're a white man, if you're Hispanic, if you're Asian, if you're a cop, if you're a school teacher, all of you are being hit by these people. And then wonder why you have this idea in your mind that everybody knows there's too many people. Everybody knows we've got to do this. You've been programmed and didn't even know it. The London Independent today, Rockefeller Foundation, climate change will cause civilization to collapse. See, they're gotten us into a financial system where they own and control all the major modes of production, 90% or near it. It's like 87% of the Western population. It lives in urban areas and from Japan to the United States. So they can control us now. And they're going to collapse things. This is the IMF World Bank plan. And that's what we've got to do, is explain to people in an article, Paul Watson, I know you're working on one today for Prison Planet, not just that he's planning this or that it's the government textbook or all these other government documents, but the big issue here is they're implementing this. They're carrying this out. The green carbon tax, they admit, and the IMF and World Bank documents admit. And I've heard them brag on NPR. This is not a secret that, oh, the plunging economy is good. This will help us have a smaller carbon footprint. I mean, I see that every day. In fact, I want to show listeners my mind. And by that when I say something, I see it every day. Google, for everybody watching right now, bad economy, good for lowering carbon footprint. So, and then you can find articles where they say, oh, yes, we're imploding it to get your carbon footprint down. Yes, to get you dependent on them so so they can really have their way with you with the CPS paramilitary police, which this bastard, Obama's head chief, says he wants to do, and they're doing it. He didn't just write this decades ago. He's implementing all of this. Paul Watson, go ahead.
Right, and we just mentioned before the break, one of the proposals in the book is, quote, adding a sterilant to drinking water or staple foods. And it's explained that it must be, quote, uniformly effective, but that it must not affect livestock. And so they're talking about mass sterilizing the public against their knowledge through the water supply, which is defined in the Nuremberg Code as a crime against humanity. Now, fact is that global sperm counts have dropped by a third since 1989 and by half in the past 50 years.
And that's global average where they're not global. Running chemical attacks in third world. It's almost 90% in Europe and the United States. Basically, European men basically don't even have testicles for any intents and purposes now.
Well, I've linked to studies in this new article. For example, white European men, the rate of decline is more, as you've just said. Now, this study was related to Italian men, and the rate of decline is 50% in the last 30 years. So their sperm count's been reduced by 50% in the last 30 years. Now, if you factor that in, it equates to a population reduction of the native population. We're not talking about immigration. A population reduction of the native population of 22% by 2050. So that's 22% population reduction. That's the fact that global sperm counts are dropping. They have been for 50 years, and that's only accelerating. Now, this is being blamed on a number of factors, mainly industrial and pharmaceutical factors, which no doubt have contributed. You mentioned the HRT products and things like that. But the latest studies, one of which was done by the University of Exeter in England, tell us that they're finding new chemicals in the rivers, in the lakes, in the water supply. Now, in England, this has had the effect of gender-bending male fish to the point where now, in all British rivers and lakes, one-third of the fish population, the entire fish population throughout the country, has been feminized. One-third of the fish are now effectively female. And in fact, they measured the fish population near the sewage works, and the ones nearest the sewage works, they found that 80% were now feminized. Their male organs had been poisoned.
And so it's what's being added to the water. The studies show this is at higher levels than what the regular consumption of women in birth control would be. And so clearly it's being added, as the head of the White House science says they want to.
And these chemicals are called anti-androgens. Now, these are the things that are given to transsexual men who want to become women. Remember what Holdren said about, you know, no noticeable side effects. These are what are given to sex offenders released from prison to reduce their sexual libido.
Yeah, stay there.
So they have the
stay
effect
there.
Of counteracting masculinization.
Stay there. Repeat that when we come back. And also, of the thousands of plastic formulas they could have adopted worldwide, they adopted the one formula that also sterilizes. My friends, we're going to go back to Paul Watson a little bit in the next hour. Your calls are coming up in the next segment. For those of you patiently holding, toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And people ask, how can I come in every day and start hyperventilating and always be so excited and always be so focused? It's completely normal when you have a criminal elite running things that are engaging in scientific dictatorship, spraying the atmosphere, poisoning the water and the food, and admitting they're doing it. And then people say, I'm the weird one for not wanting that to happen. About to go back to Paul Watson. I tend to get so busy now, I'll do 2, 3, 4 hours, not even thank our sponsors. I do want to thank our sponsors, and the biggest sponsor is my own books and videos. Like Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. You want to know who the elite are, what they are, and what their endgame is, what makes them tick? I mean, you watch this film, it's like his 1,100-page book. But from our perspective, you need to get the end game. You need to have viewing parties. We need to hand the end game out to everybody. We need to expose this. This is the big issue. And to get through to the general public, you need to give them the Obama deception, because this thing doesn't attack him from a right-wing perspective. It attacks George Bush and Obama and shows how they work for the same people, how it's a control paradigm, and who they really work for and what their agenda is. And people are really freaking out now, because this film came out 1 month after he was in office, and now it's all been validated. So this film is going mega viral. Get it. Make copies. Infowars.com. Order a hard copy there. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to me. I'm Alex Jones at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. You can also see all my films in super high quality and burn them to disc and download them and give them to folks at PrisonPlanet.tv, as well as watching the live feed of the radio/TV show. And lastly, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, eFoodsDirect.com. We don't have to remind you that you need food to survive. Our biggest sponsor, eFoods Direct, is the longest continually operating portable foods company in the country. They also happen to be true patriots and have supported the freedom movement for years and years. With the looming food shortages, depression, war, the economy, it is imperative that you make sure you and your family are prepared with non-GMO, good, clean, storable foods. Give them a call at 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633, or check them out on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Non-GMO, non-hybrid, good quality, clean food, eFoodsDirect.com, and a great price. All right, Watson. Recap what you were saying about the water supply. They're clearly already doing this. But he also gets into a global police state of CPS to take everyone's kids. And then the New York Times today saying families are bad. I randomly pick up the Atlantic Monthly. It's got an article saying families are bad. July, August. I mean, these people scientifically want to make us all wrecks so they can orderly kill our ass. They've got to break down society first. Then come in with fake terror for their police state cover story so they can run a black op on us, just like Dick Cheney said in Rebuilding America's Defenses about how he wanted to use race-specific bioweapons to kill certain races. But they only tell the whites carrying this out, oh, we're just killing the blacks and Mexicans. No, folks, they want to kill everybody but themselves. Paul Watson.
Right. Well, you established the fact that global sperm counts have been reduced, and that's accelerating, and it's especially prevalent in white European men. That's a fact. Now, what's also a fact is that the University of Exeter, along with the University of Sussex, has done scientific studies earlier this year which produced the results that anti-androgens were being released into the water supply, and this was above and beyond the concerns about HRT and contraceptive pills, which are also affecting the environmental crisis. But these androgens are used to treat sex offenders, or given to sex offenders after they're released from prison, to suppress their sexual libido. They're given to transsexual men who want to become women, because what they do is they counteract the masculinization process and effectively diminish the normal male biological characteristics. They call them endocrine disruptors.
And that's why a lot of cops, what they say, over a third of cops are on steroids. A lot of them, in a way, actually need them, I guess, because we've all been feminized by this.
Right. And it's also being sprayed on our food. They're used in pesticides. I've linked to another scientific study from the article that's at the top of PrisonPlanet.com now, which shows that these same anti-androgens have been found to, quote, have demonstrated to induce demasculinization in rats.
Hold on a minute. I actually saw a mainstream report on that last week and didn't even think to cover it. What you're saying is key here. They are picking chemical pesticides of a type that sterilize or reduce sperm count. I've seen those reports. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's so much evidence, just like of thousands of different plastic combinations for global standardization. In the 50s, they picked a certain type of plastic family that leaches the endocrine disruptors, the estrogen mimickers, which hyper-feminize women, connected to breast cancer and a hormonal fluctuation, and feminize men, and then we actually see a lot of males now aren't even at age 12, 13 having their testicles drop. So the girls are going into puberty at 5, 6 years old because of the food and the water, and the boys are becoming feminine because of this and aren't even having their testicles, like ovaries drop. This is just incredible. You're saying you've got a report up on prisonplanet.com. I guess you just already did your big report. Obama czar's plan to sterilize population through water supply already happening. My God, this is mega huge, Watson. And again, people, we're risking our lives here. That's why I always have such excitement. I know what we're doing. We have caught these. Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? I'm leaving the room. I'm not going to be able to shut up. I'm going to leave the room and watch from the control room. Watson, you've got the floor. I've got to shut up. Start over. This is huge breaking information. This is huge. Watson, tell them.
Yeah, these anti-androgens have not only been found in the water supply, but according to this study, which is the abstract of which is on encyclopedia.com, and I've linked to it from the article on prisonplanet.com right now. It's actually a study from October 2001, so this has been known for some time now. And you can... looks like you have to buy the actual full scientific study, but it was in the environmental health perspectives from October 1st, 2001. And it says that these same anti-androgens have been found in pesticides, and which are sprayed on our food, and they tested them on rats, and they were, quote, demonstrated to induce demasculinization in rats. So they're having the same effect that they are on the fish, in the water, not only fish, polar bears, bald eagles, otters, and whales have all been similarly affected by these gender-bending chemicals, and it's a problem not only in the UK, but it's global. Now, the professor at Exeter University, having established that these chemicals are having gender-bending effects on fish and animals, said, quote, there is certainly the potential for it to have an effect in humans and possibly a marked effect. Professor Charles Tyler of Exeter University, who is one of the country's leading authorities on the effects of estrogen. So you tie that with the fact that global sperm count is reducing at an accelerating rate, especially amongst white European males. There's a study that I've linked to from the article which talks about that as well. So these things are going into our water supply at an increasing rate above and beyond the normal pollutants from industry and pharmaceutical products. Now, the ironic thing about all this, as was revealed in a March 2009 BBC Country File documentary program, is that the water authorities in England have these large industrial water filters which, at the source of the sewage plants, can filter out these very chemicals that are causing gender-bending effects and have devastated the fish population in the UK. They have the filters which can remove them. And during one test in Derby, which is not too far away from where I live, they were found to successfully be able to remove these anti-androgens. But that test, although successful, was blocked from being rolled out nationwide, and these large filters were prevented from being installed nationwide because of concerns about, quote, their carbon footprint and that they might contribute to global warming, which is obviously the latest veil behind which Holdren and his eugenicist colleagues camouflaged their eugenicist agenda. So now, because of concerns about global warming and carbon footprint, the very filters that would eliminate these gender-bending chemicals, which are a real environmental threat, not only to the food supply and animals, but also to humans as well, is being blocked because... people in control of the fake man-made climate change movement are protesting that they would harm the environment because they release some CO2. So So the waters, the lakes, will continue to be poisoned by this gender-bending chemical.
But see, that's a religious statement. Now, the globalists that set this up cold-bloodedly don't believe it. They know carbon dioxide is what plants breathe. But it's like, oh, you can't test the other water supplies that have the drugs in it. That driving a car to the lake would release carbon. You know, see, this is their sick joke. They practice mental illness to make everybody else basically feel crazy and confused. This is so sick, Watson. And again, I have that AP article where they found the drugs in our water supply of an even different type and a higher level than was possible from sewage runoff, and they find it in water supplies that aren't connected to a water supply that's downstream or has any runoff. They're finding it in aquifer water that's taken out and then sent to a treatment plant to have fluoride added. They're adding it there. So they're finding it in major city supplies that come from aquifers. They're putting it in the water. They're doing it, and I'm looking at your article here on PrisonPlanet.com. There are people in there attacking you, saying, how dare us not want to do this, Paul? We've got to get rid of the humans for the Earth.
That's the wider issue, Alex, is the fact that, you know, the biggest battle is not convincing people that eugenicists like Holder and in positions of power advocating these positions, you know, nor even that they're actually might be carrying them out, as is documented in this article. The biggest battle is pointing out why mass sterilization of large sections of the population is wrong, and, you know, why it would create an oppressive, hyper-fascist, brave new world society. Because, as you just mentioned, I would say, from my experience, that most people agree with the top eugenicists that the useless eaters need to be sterilized without realizing that such programs would target everyone, not just brown people, not just people on welfare.
Well, that's because
everyone.
In movies and TV, I mean, half the science fiction movies I've seen or more will have a scene where, why'd you join up for the military corps? Take Starship Troopers. Oh, you got to be a citizen to have babies, and I want to have babies. Or, I mean, just all, I'm a science fiction fan. When I had time, I'd watch science fiction movies. I'd say more than half has a message of, in the future, you got to have a license to have kids. It's predictive programming. And so people think this is the knowledgeable thing. I mean, I have some family who's dead now, but she was sit around and talk about the white trash and how they, you know, might need to, you know, are breeding too much. And so it was just an accepted knowledge. Listen, 34 states passed laws for forced sterilization by 1931. I mean, Hitler got all his ideas from England and the U.S. So all the big robber barons are into this. So, yeah, no, exactly. Listen, I have yuppies emailing me. I see them on the street. I mean, Dr. Pianca gets a standing ovation. So do all these other eugenicists. They are the majority in the power structure. And they, though, go, wait a minute, the elite wants to kill us, and that's a good idea, but I trust it and give it to my kid, but I trust him and drink the water. Because, again, they think they're the elite. Man, they are idiots, my friend.
Yeah, it's all very liberal, isn't it? I mean, the liberals also champion somebody like Marie Stopes, who was recently honored in Britain by getting her own stamp. Marie Stopes advocated the compulsory sterilization of the diseased drunkards or simply those of bad character. That's a direct
Margaret
quote.
Sanger got a stamp. Same time, same year, if memory serves. Again, it's all unified. We are. I went to a school that was partially black, but I mean, a large portion of it, when I was in kindergarten, because we lived in White Rock Lake in Dallas, and then we moved out to the you know, countryside after that for first grade. But the point is that I went to Margaret Sanger Elementary. There was a statue of her calling black subhuman. The blacks are taught, though, to love her. She's a hero. Oh, you kill me. Oh, I love you. Isn't that loving, Paul? Oh, it's liberal. Oh,
it's very liberal to champion these people whose legacy can be traced through and before Hitler. Marie Stopes sent love letters to Hitler. She was fascinated by him because he advocated the same ideas.
Oh, are you anti-Semitic? I mean, we get attacked by the ADL. You don't want to kill? Hitler's not good. Oh, my.
Hitler's not liberal, no. Now, Stokes attended the Nazi Congress on Population Science in Berlin in 1935. That's where she called for sterilizing people of bad character. And she also concentrated her abortion clinics in poor areas because she wanted to reduce the birth rate of the
lower
classes.
Not just them. Ruth Bader Ginsburg gave an AP interview and said, we can't get rid of abortion. We have to get rid of, quote, populations we don't want.
Right.
I mean, these people are everywhere. You know what? I got an idea, Paul. How about if we're over, why don't they just kill themselves? I mean, all these people can just kill themselves. Oh, but see, they can't. Their lives have value, and they have to oversee killing us.
Right. And those people are now working through organizations such as the Galton Institute, which was formerly known as the Eugenics Society. Marie Stopes left most of her estate to the Eugenics Society, and now the Eugenics Society, known as the Galton Institute, supports funding for the practical delivery of family planning facilities, especially in developing countries. So in other words, the same organization that once advocated sterilizing black people to achieve racial purity in line with what Hitler and the Nazis wanted are now bankrolling abortions and sterilization in the third world.
But the bigger issue is Bill and Melinda Gates, Ted Turner, all of them meeting Warren Buffett in secret, and it comes out mainstream news, to curb overpopulation. That's coming up in your phone calls with Paul Watson right here on Genesis. The elite that govern our planet are poisoning our water, our air, and our food. Because the same White House chief of science wants to chemtrails. In the words of the Pentagon, possibly the most transforming thing in our force, Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld said, will not be weapon systems, but a set of interconnections. Headline, U.S. military to install global internet architecture giving godlike view of planet. And this article on Infowars.com, it says exactly what I said over the years. The smart dust, the RFID and all products is to give Google, which is really Pentagon front, on record. We've had Mr. Steele, the CIA officer, on to cover it. A three-dimensional system where you search the internet, they search reality. And so it's this giant electronic technological control grid. And that's what the Pentagon calls it, is a control grid, to straitjacket everybody. And they're putting the grid in right now, and then they're going to phase out and kill everybody, including the troops, when they're done with them, and then move to a robot military, drone control with AI systems run by the elites. So it's like Terminator, but minus the machines running it. And then they're already going to convert the Air Force by 2012 to over half drone. That means even without humans piloting them, everything's converting right now. Now, they'll be successful if we can't face what they're doing and realize a group of humans are waging war against the rest of us. And they brag and call it this. You know, you talk about the Galton Society. That was Darwin's, quote, bulldog. This is the new religion. And I'm not debating evolution here. I'm saying out of the evolution movement came these people. They're in control. And Watson, continue. I mean, you haven't even gotten into how he says a global police force will CPS everyone's children. They'll break up all the families. I mean, and then now you see him in power today as Obama's science czar. They are implementing the total destruction of society, total federalization, mobile health vans, FEMA camps for everyone's safety. I mean, this is it.
Exactly. And a lot of the liberals who support eugenics think that it's okay to be a little bit fascist on this one issue.
No.
Without realizing the fact that power corrupts absolutely. And if you give government power over the very life cycle of humanity, that would in and of itself create an openly hyper-fascist society. You can't be a little bit pregnant. If the government can implant devices into people that prevent them from being pregnant, implant them at puberty, and people can only have them removed with government permission when they want to get pregnant, what kind of brave new world hellhole society is that going to create? It's obvious. And yet, people...
But, Paul, you can't even have a radio show now. It's taking carbon. We're shutting you down. They admit, under the climate bill, it will all be selectively enforced down to the point in England when a university says, we want a grant to go test other water supplies. Somebody's adding hormones that aren't even supposed to be there. They say, sorry, carbon, you're not allowed to leave. but wait, you have a carbon footprint. Don't criticize it or you'll be arrested. That's carbon denial. I mean, this is the most diabolical plan, Paul.
And the point to make about it is that all these same people who were in the population control movement in the 60s and 70s are all now pushing the global warming movement, even though you can go down their predictions line by line, and in every instance, the predictions that they made in the 60s and 70s have turned out to be absolutely wrong.
Yeah, they said an ice age. We had to sterilize everybody for the ice age. But see, they know it's a fraud. They brag. They just give us a new religion. They go, these people are religious, give them a green religion. Meanwhile, with genetic engineering, all the other stuff, and the toxic waste, they're actually hurting the environment. The bottom line is, none of this is being done for the environment. This is being done so these control freaks can control the future, keep the life extension technologies for themselves, and really craft the development and evolution of human society themselves. They don't want the people to be part of that debate. And then they rationalize, hey, the public doesn't care. Thus, that is the evidence that we deserve what we're getting.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I haven't even gotten to the stacks of news, and I will do that after Manny Medeo pops in for 15, 20 minutes with some big breaking inside info on 9/11. Then we've got Tamara Griffin coming on the last hour. But I literally rolled around in bed last night, even though I was exhausted from working all day, doing the radio show and working on the film, just wanting to try to come on air, explain this to you, be articulate, try to cover all the facets. It's simple. Look into this for yourself, find out it's true, and find out it's all been implemented against us. I mean, cancer's way up, sterilization's way up, infertility's way up. The eugenics didn't go away in the 1980s when they were still sterilizing women forcibly through the health department, through the family planning courts. The family courts are eugenics courts set up for that. And this bastard, Obama's science czar, over 90% of technological development in the U.S., the feds fund that, is saying CPS will take people's children. Tell folks about that.
Yeah, Holdren's essentially advocating the policy in China, which is enforced. I'm talking about the one-child policy, obviously. If you have more than one child in China, and if you live in a city, in the rural areas, it's two children. In the city, if you have more than one child, the milder enforcement is by way of crippling taxes. But on the other end of the enforcement, they actually send out government goons who kidnap women off the streets, drag them to abortion clinics, and forcibly abort the baby.
Well, he says forced abortion. One of his colleagues, Peter Singer, says kill babies after they're born. He says parents should be able to kill their children up to 1 year. And they go, oh, that's very liberal. Murdering babies, oh. And you have a one-year-old bouncing on your knee. That's not a human, it's a fetus. Ice pick, ah. I'm sorry, go ahead, Paul. Right winger.
Here's his quote from page 837. Quote, indeed, it has been concluded that compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society. So he's talking about forced abortion. Now, I'll go back to what I was saying before. All these people who were in the global population reduction movement in the 60s and 70s are all the same faces now pushing the global warming movement. Their predictions have been uniformly wrong. Holdren's co-author of Eco Science said in 1969, quote, I would take even money that England will not exist in the year 2000. He also said, quote, life expectancy of Americans by 1980 would be 42 years of age. Completely wrong. He also said that because of overpopulation creating a food shortage, and this is at the same time that Kissinger and Bush were talking about withholding food from the third world in order to kill them and reduce population. But Ehrlich said that because of food shortages, 4 billion people would die from 1980 to 1989. This is the co-author of the book with Holdren. And Holdren made similar statements. He said that there'd be a massive catastrophe before 2000 and everything would collapse.
And Paul, let's be clear, because they were planning to engineer those. He now is the first speech he gave, said we got to control the weather with the chemtrails, describing the exact cocktail recipe that our scientists had said they were already spraying. And he said, yeah, we've been doing tests. That's all just test. We're about to start the real program. And then climatologists look at the program and say it'll actually heat the Earth. And then now Bill Gates comes out and says, oh, I want to start geoengineering the planet. So it's clear they're trying to create droughts and floods, as they said in the State Department Memorandum 200, to stop people from having food, to cause a collapse. They want a collapse. Stay there, Paul Watson. We'll come back, get more into that statement I just made, get your take on that. Run through the rest of your articles and then go to phone calls. I'm Alex Jones. PrisonPlanet.tv is the website. Be sure and check it out.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Large portions of the U.S. population live in government housing. And they say you don't have a Second Amendment right if you do, but that's been overturned in court because we're fighting back against these bastards. And that's really the message here. We can beat them. So a government official with the housing authority has said that you're not allowed to own guns because you're poor, and that means you're stupid. That's like when the state of Texas asked the head psychiatrist in the state, advising the state, why does the state put over two-thirds of the kids in foster care on drugs? And he said, they have bad gene pools. It's just a quackery, made-up reason. These are quacks. These are scam artists. Churches and cops team up for gun surrender, saying it's of the Lord, you turn your guns in. That's the churches on government payroll. All right, I want to take some calls for Watson, but Watson, continue getting into this amazing report I'm giving a lot of attention to because it's so important. A textbook, a policy review, a proposal for government, and here he is decades later, Obama's science czar, the guy he co-authored it with, advises Congress and President Bush, showing it's nonpartisan. And so all of this is going on. The right-wing media is trying to make it a partisan issue to distract, really. There's a lot of other facets to the incredible system he calls for. A global government in eco-science, population, resources, and environment, it will carry all this out with an environmental police, which now they have in New York and San Francisco and many other areas, are getting city environmental police running around harassing people.
Yeah, I mean, the other main shocking thing in it, after the proposal to sterilize people through the water supply, is under the subheadline Involuntary Fertility Control on page 786, it says, quote, the development of a long-term sterilizing capsule that could be implanted under the skin and removed when pregnancy is desired opens additional possibilities for coercive fertility control. The capsule could be implanted at puberty and might be removable with official permission for a limited number of births. So he's talking about, by law, the government implanting a device in the body of young men and women at puberty.
And it says you go before a board of social workers, and then your babies are taken and raised by them.
Yeah, that's the other one. You have to prove that you're worthy of licensing for parenting is essentially what it is.
It doesn't matter that they're 5 to 7 times more likely to abuse children, that they're the scum parasite control freaks. I mean, let's put this scumbag up on screen. What is it about all these guys that they want to run our lives, but they can't run their own lives? I mean, they are just such trash.
The thing about it, Alex, is the biggest obstacle is people support their opinions. I had, well, I read a response to a Daily Mail article about the Marie Stopes issue, and it was a woman reasonably outlining the need for government to breed humans like farmyard animals. And this was a woman who was trying to sound reasonable about it, and she was supported by the majority of other people that made these comments. Now, they've got a culturally imperialist mindset that, as you said, has been brainwashed into them. People need to get past their tribal racism and this class elitism and realize that this is not just targeted at brown people or welfare scum. They're putting it in municipal water supplies, for God's sakes. This is targeting everybody. Now, the whole overpopulation issue itself, we've proven that these people were completely wrong in their predictions. I've just read out the quotes from Holdren's co-author in that book. Now, you can have a debate about, is overpopulation a problem? The fact is, would you rather have an overpopulated but free society or a sparsely populated hyper-fascist society where the government regulates every aspect of your personal life down to the level where they implant a device that prevents you from getting pregnant? Now,
well, I'll tell you what else is sick, Watson. There are commenters in your story at PrisonPlanet.com, your part two, if folks want to find the first part, which is encyclopedic and very important for everybody to read. If the average American would get as knowledgeable about eugenics and the New World Order and the architecture that the elite have built on a planetary scale, what they've already done to us, their current operations and their future plans, if people were as knowledgeable about that as they were about football or baseball, we'd be in a free society. I mean, this is life and death. And they're in here commenting, saying we're backwards idiots. We're for the welfare scum. You know, we've got to get rid of these people. Hey, dumb racist. You do that through education. You help these people. The Royal Commission on Population, the blueprint for all of this in 49 out of England, declassified in the 70s, states that they actually want to make the third world population swell. They want to get rid of their competition in the West and then call everybody off at the end. This isn't about the earth. It isn't about helping people. It isn't about tough love. And you are being shot up with the mercury and the cancer viruses. You are drinking the sterilants. You are being chemtrail sprayed because the White House science chief is announcing that as well. Don't you get it? Again, these are the sickos in the system that feel like they're part of the establishment. And you're not. You're not part of the establishment. I'm sorry, Watson. Go ahead.
Alex, the fact is about overpopulation. As the figures show, in Europe, in South Korea, in Thailand, places like that, if you modernize, if you improve living standards, population gradually levels out naturally of its own accord. Now, we know that's not going to happen in the third world because this global corporate slave system, you know, needs its reservation. It needs its wage slaves to produce the crap that we consume for pennies on the dollar. That's why the third world's not allowed to develop. It's also not allowed to develop in the more remote areas because, and this is exposed in Durkin's excellent documentary, The Great Global Warming Swindle, third world countries are not being allowed to develop under the guise that they're going to increase their carbon footprint. Again, it all comes back to this. Global warming is hurting the environment in the long run because it's preventing us from having a good environment. It's preventing third world nations from developing, from becoming economically better off, from stabilizing their population.
But that's what
naturally.
The Royal Commission says. It says we're not going to let them have industrial capacity. We want them to have a people bomb to hold them down and eat up their resources so they don't challenge our hegemon. So it's all a global game of chess. And then once their populations bloom, then we'll use sterilization and disease and war to knock them out in the next phase, and then we're going to go and target our most intelligent here, break up the families in the West so no one can oppose them to the point of where only the elites can even talk. That's what Orwell wrote about because he'd actually worked at the BBC in propaganda, but that's what the elites talk about now. And Huxley talked about it, so did Bertrand Russell, about how the public wouldn't be able to talk. And, Paul, a lot of the public now can't really talk unless it's kind of canned things they heard from TV. They have, I mean, they've been chemically and psychologically through the educational system turned into like biological androids, and now they're using these biological androids. Me have police uniform. Me take you to camp. Me take your child. Me, And so they've got like brain-damaged zombies. Government, authority, official. And we're like, warn everyone, warn them quickly. And the enemy's like, you can't stop us. The planes are spraying and people are drinking goblets of water. And children all die of cancer. It is normal. I mean, where does it end, Watson?
How do we get through to these idiots who think that mass sterilization, forcibly aborting babies and planting implants by government decree in people at puberty, is a sensible idea? How could any free-thinking, sane person advocate that? And the fact is this, in Britain, there are couples who haven't had jobs their entire lives. They have 15 or 16 children, and the state pays them for every one. It's this socialized welfare system.
Well, they do that so they can point at that and say, we need to socialize everything. You got to have a license to have a kid so we don't have to pay for that. They brag. It's problem, reaction, solution. They create the crisis and then offer the solution. Their nanny state they created to get control to reduce population actually makes it explode, which is their original plan. You see, this is crazy like a fox, Paul.
So how about removing the incentive for people to have 16 kids in the first place?
No, they're not going to do that because they want the person that has 16 kids. They're going to put cop uniforms on them, and they're going to be, me take you camp, me drink fluoride, and then they're going to take the vaccines with the cancer viruses and die at retirement, and that's their biological android in their first phase before they go to the robots to enforce for them. This is all stated. I'm serious, folks. Their real enemy is you and I who can actually think. We're the enemy. So they're creating the devil horde of the white trash fluoride heads. Yeah. You understand, Paul?
Yeah, they need to create
me,
the
officer!
So they can then introduce the solution. This is a quote from somebody on an article, not my article, but a similar one out of the Daily Mail. Quote, we breed farm animals to produce the best possible stock and kill them when they have fulfilled their purpose. We interbreed pedigree animals to produce extremes that leave them open to ill health and early death. It is only religion that says humans are not animals. The reality is that we are simply intelligent mammalian primates. The world population of humans has increased from 2 to 6.5 billion in the last 50 years. The planet can support 2 billion humans comfortably. 6.5 uses too many resources and leads to global warming and climate change. Marie Stopes believed in population control and breeding the best possible humans. So did Hitler. Neither of these aims are bad in themselves. That's the attitude of people.
But see, they're playing the part of, oh, you're all animals and can't make a decision. We're the elite beyond good and evil. We're going to get rid of you. No, you bastards. You don't control our lives. We're not your slaves. I'm a sentient, alive creature whose conscience... And I'm not your slave, and I have a right under universal law to defend against you, you control freak cowards. That's what you are, is filth. You know, I could do a 10-hour radio show on this stuff. It's what governs our planet. It's what the elite that are running things are doing. And Burma's just ran in here all excited. We're in their taping C-SPAN, and he said the Republican leader just got up and said, this is about a new world order and a global elite wanting to micromanage and control the resources of the populations. So, I mean, it's really, I was watching another C-SPAN clip where they're talking about, this is about eugenics. Here's the exciting news. The people are getting wise to how the world really works. Just like I used the example last week, if you couldn't find different juice products like cranberry juice cocktail that didn't have corn syrup in it, and now people quit buying it, so now it's sugar cane. And that's the issue I'm making, is that we can demand what we want and change the system before the full global police state grid's in. But you look at Priyanka, Singer, Holdren, all of them, it's always global police state, global police state. I mean, this is really happening. Watson, I know I keep just repeating that, but there'd be something wrong with us if you and I and others weren't freaked out by the magnitude of this.
I'm freaked out by it, but it appears that a majority of people support it. I hate to say it, but from everything I've read, that's the truth.
Well, that's a wannabe elitism. It's a wannabe elitism.
Right. One thing, I think a battle for the minds that we've won or are winning vehemently is on the vaccines, because yesterday the UK government announced, they didn't say it would be mandatory, but they implied it definitely. They said the entire UK population, 61 million people, will be vaccinated against swine flu within a year. Now, I wrote an article about that, referencing a London Times piece, which said that the vaccine was being rushed through safety procedures in 5 days. It was being fast-tracked, despite the fact that the makers of it got caught, you know, tainting the vaccine they produced and sent out with avian flu virus, Baxter International.
Now, yeah, notice the people that are making it are the ones that accidentally put weaponized bird flu in the vaccine, and it was the 76 swine flu vaccine that killed a bunch of people. I have a 60 Minutes from the 70s admitting all this.
Right. It killed more people than the swine flu did, many more, and injured thousands.
Well, I mean, we know they're putting something in it. Whenever they've got a big vaccine they're pushing. But the idiot public's going to take it. They love dying. But you're saying some are waking up.
Here's the good news. As of last night, on that London Times article, now these are not Prison Planet or InfoWars readers. When I looked last night, there were 50 comments on that London Times article about the mandatory swine flu vaccine. Nearly every single one said, no way in hell am I taking that from this lying government that's been proven wrong on every facet for the last God knows how many years. Nearly 50 people out of the 50 comments said they were not taking it. So what are they going to do when millions of people refuse to take it?
No, the Washington Post announced today they're going to, quote, make every kid in America take it. And they'll say it's the law when there's no law. And then someone, and you know what? A bunch of people are going to die when they take it. And then we'll keep winning. But again, they're definitely putting something in those shots, Watson. What was this video I saw of a guy reciting my lines from Waking Life getting arrested? Are you not allowed to even talk in England now?
Yeah, there was a guy in Birmingham, which is the second biggest city in England, on Saturday afternoon, who got a bullhorn and just started walking through the centre of town reciting your speech from Waking Life and adding a few things of his own about wanting to hold on to British sovereignty against the EU and all that kind of thing. He had a crowd of people that eventually joined and started marching with him. And he got arrested for the crime of using a bullhorn.
That's right. You're not allowed to protest or demonstrate. You're a slave. And you can't come out and say you don't want to be taken over by criminal eugenicists that openly run the EU. And they said, oh, you can't use an unauthorized sound device, but if he'd have been protesting to shut down a coal plant for carbon tax, oh, then they would have been carrying him on their shoulders. Man, I tell you, British police, they are just...
Well,
I mean, the videos I see are just unbelievable.
They got caught at G8 killing somebody, and then they faked the autopsy and had to do a second one. But the point is, in Britain, to protest the government, you need permission from the government. That's not free speech. Free speech is dead. It doesn't exist when you get arrested for doing it.
Well, Paul, you and your brother and I have all been put in terror databases, but we watch women and children being... They just have secret police run up and say, up against the wall, you're being put in section code 59X5. Oh. I mean, it's just... We live in 1984. We got to break out of the prison. Good to hear from the prisoner, Paul Watson, number 6 over there in Britannia. Good job on the article, Paul.
Thanks, Alex.
Folks, get it at Prison Planet. Get it out to everybody. You're putting stuff in the water. We're going to go to Manny Badillo in just a moment. Then I'm going to get to all your calls before Our next guest joins us, G. Edward Griffin. We'll get into eugenics, the global carbon tax, all of it coming up. I know I just spent 2.5 hours on eugenics today, but, I mean, how can you not, when the president's czar over science is saying CPS, take everyone's children, drug the water, drug the food, implant chips in people to control them, and then we're the bad ones because we don't want this to happen to us. We're the weirdos. We're, you know, all these years they've denied all this, and now they're openly announcing world government, world currencies. It's all happening. In fact, we have that Russian president calling for the global currency, don't we? But see, what he's doing is the United States and Geithner have one global currency they want. The Russians are saying they want a different one. So that's just them pushing for that. So that's coming up in just a moment. Before I go to Manny Badillo, great guy who's, by the way, in my film, Truth Rising. He lost his uncle, Mr. Skroy, in one of the two towers on 9/11 with some big breaking news. We appreciate him coming on to share it with us here first. I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go sign up for training at frontsight.com, you're crazy. I mean, this is above law enforcement and military training. It's a 5-day course, no drill instructor attitude, and basically it's 75% off. It's normally about, what they say, $4,500 for this. It's $1,100 for this 5-day training. You get a 30-plus state concealed permit license with it, and you get a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. So just the training alone would normally be a $4,000 course, and it's only $1,100. Then you get the free gun in your caliber of choice and the 30-state concealed carry that comes with it. And I wish I had time to go do this. Believe me, this is the name. We are proud to have them as a sponsor, frontsight.com. Take the family this summer or this fall coming up. Go to frontsight.com today. Get a free brochure. Watch some of their videos. Sign up for their free newsletter. Talk to them. We need patriots to have training. It's not enough to have guns. You need training to defend yourself in the Republic. And the place to go is frontsight.com. That's FrontSight.com. Frontsight.com. And go there and find out about this limited time offer that they've got running right now. Okay, I ended up getting stuck with Paul on eugenics, and I apologize to Manny getting him on a little bit. Lady joins us from New York, and Manny's a very articulate, very smart, passionate 9/11 truther, and he's also with 9/11 We Are Change and Luke Radowski in New York with that founding chapter of We Are Change. And because he lost family, he's been able to get into some of the preliminary hearings about the new 9/11 kangaroo court trials. And Obama has said that even if they're found not guilty, that they're going to be held indefinitely. So this is now pre-crime. So it's worse than Bush, and it's being called liberal. So he was in on some of those meetings and brought up serious questions and was told to shut up. He joins us now to talk about that. But even more important, they've gotten the signatures and then some needed to make this be a ballot issue for a city investigation of what happened. So let's go to Manny Badillo. Manny, it is great to have you on with us, sir.
And it is great to be on your show, Alex. I appreciate you and what you're doing and sticking to your obligation as an American citizen to bring up the points relating to my uncle's murder and so many other points. It's appreciated tremendously, sir.
Well, we appreciate you. And there's a lot of demonization in 9/11 Truth going on. 9/11 Truth is out there getting bigger every day. 9/11 Truth, We Are Change, InfoWarriors, a bunch of other groups are out there constantly making the news, bringing up the issues of government-sponsored terrorism. If we don't do that, they're going to continue to stage the attacks and use those staged events like flu or Al-Qaeda attacks to bring in their control. But where should we start? The petitions, or should we get into some of the behind-the-scenes with these kangaroo trials?
Let's start with the petitions. I'll explain to you real quick. NYCCan.org, Coalition for Accountability Now. We are here in New York City collecting petitions every day. We have collected upwards of 68,000 signatures from New York City voters who are looking to have a new investigation into what happened on 9/11. This is with subpoena power, and this is privately funded. We handed in 52,000 signatures a couple of weeks ago to the city clerk, Mike McSweeney, in New York. We're looking to have those validated. We're looking to see if it goes to the city council for a vote. We are also looking for support. We are looking for donations so we can continue to have the signatures collected. We're looking to collect at least 30,000 more signatures within the next few weeks to override any vote that the city council may give, so we can ensure that this goes onto the ballot in November, giving New York City voters the ability to say yes to a subpoena-powered investigation into what happened on 9/11.
And this is a big feat that you've gotten all these signatures, and even if they throw a lot of them out, break down the rules and the math on that, and then if it gets accepted, which it looks like it will, what the process is now, because any real investigation of 9/11 and even a second whitewash opens a lot of holes up. The first 9/11 whitewash by Congress brought a lot out. The second official commission whitewash brought a lot out. Now that we've had members and general counsel come out and say it was all a lie, all a fraud, we agreed to lie with the Pentagon. That's now mainstream news. I mean, this is really discrediting them right now.
Right now, we're at a position where we have over 68,000 signatures, okay? We are still looking to collect more signatures because the vote, any vote given by the city council, hopefully it will be coming up within the next few weeks with the city council. We're still not sure where the city council is looking to go. We're still not sure where the city clerk is looking to go. All we know is that we've done our job. We've been on the streets. We've been collecting signatures. We engage people one-on-one. This is a very honest, passionate way, a more passive way even, for citizens to participate in democracy. We are asking them to sign a ballot initiative that allows for a commission to be set up. And this commission is going to have subpoena power. It's going to protect those who have come out, spoken about what happened on 9/11 that weren't heard during the first sham of an investigation. 70% of our questions were never answered during the 9/11 commission. I mentioned that in the movie Truth Rising. The fact is that this petition is looking to have all questions answered. We are looking to have the ability for New York City voters to say yes, and then to proceed on to a commission that's going to be honest. It's going to be chosen by the people. We have family members, survivors on the commission already overseeing it. We have an executive committee that is actively participating in what's happening here. This, Alex, is something that hasn't taken place in the rest of the world, well before even here in the U.S. We are engaging people every day. This isn't about theory. This isn't about who did it, what happened. This is about giving New York City voters the opportunity to say yes. Then we proceed with the proper investigation that's due my uncle and 3,000 others that were murdered, and there's no questions answered. This will answer those questions.
Manny, what is it like for you to see top physicists and engineers and scientists and peer-reviewed journals in Europe, the United States, coming out and saying clearly we didn't just find the evidence of thermite and thermite and bombs, but specifically even finding part of the unexpended thermite? Then it turns out the very people running the NIST report are the very few experts in NASA thermite rocket separation technology. Then there's people in the commission connected in with the special jacketing in Building 7 of unconventional fire retardant in 99 when they built the CIA command bunker in there. I mean, we really are honing it right down to the individuals now. I mean, knowing who these murderers are, and I understand you're just going for an investigation, but the evidence is there. More and more we know who the actual murderers are. What is it like to be closing in on really how they did it?
Well, it feels tremendously empowering, and it should feel tremendously empowering to all family members that lost someone, to all first responders that are dying today based on the lies they were told, and to all survivors, but also the rest of New York City, the rest of this country, the rest of the world. This is evidence that's coming out every day that should have been included in the original investigation that took place. Evidence that should have been included because in a court of law, when you take in this evidence, it's weighed, okay? This, what's happening, NYCCan.org here, we're going to have a commission where we're not going to have political considerations. This is going to be a privately funded investigation. This is going to be an investigation that has subpoena power to protect those like Sybil Edmonds and so many others. that have come out and spoken about what they knew that the original 9/11 investigation did not want to hear. So it's very important. It's very empowering. And to hear that people throughout the world, Alex, are investigating what's happening, are finding the evidence, publishing the evidence. I'll be honest with you. I had a conversation with my mother yesterday. Okay, she's the sister of my uncle. Okay, she was asking, why aren't more people speaking out? Why aren't more people, you know, understanding what's happening? And I have to tell her, you know, pretty much this isn't something that is being put on the mainstream media. You know, we're vilified in the mainstream media. The evidence that you know should be heard by the rest of the world is not being heard. Instead, we're being told about celebrity and entertainment and what have you. So my mother was asking, why? Well, guess what? This is an opportunity, a tremendous opportunity. Everyone here in New York City to participate and to get to the answers that we need. And those people, such as Stephen Jones and Richard Gage and everyone who would be able to speak in a court of law under subpoena power, they'd be able to speak about the evidence that's being found. The fact of the matter is very simple, okay? We were lied to. And we need to get to the answers or else this may happen again, another type of incident like this. I don't want to speculate on theory. I have my own opinions about it, but I will say that NYCCan.org, this is a tremendous opportunity for everyone here in the city of 8 million people, city was affected the most by the catastrophe, to be able to put their names to a piece of paper and say, yes, we want to see that question, and we want to be able to say yes to a new investigation come November.
Where do folks go to find out more about the petition? WeAreChange.org?
They'd be able to go to NYCCan.org. We're going to be getting a link up soon on WeAreChange.org. They'd be able to go to the left-hand button bar and...
okay, but the main site is...
NYCCan.org. Anyone would be able to go there, take a look at the petition, take a look at FAQs, take a look at the executive committee that's been set up, be able to donate. We're looking for donations. We're getting on average about $1 a signature. We need about 30,000 more signatures to ensure that a very safe way for us to override any decision by the city council to ensure that we get on the November
ballot.
That's right.
You've already got more signatures than you need, correct? But
absolutely. And the reason why we've done that is because we know that the city clerk is looking to perhaps, try to cancel out a lot of the signatures that we've given for whatever reason. We want to make sure that this gets on the ballot. This is the real chance for a real investigation into the murder of my uncle and 3,000 others. My uncle should be standing here with me today. Instead, I'm on the phone and I'm pleading with people to take a look at what we've done for the past year in collecting these signatures and what We Are Change has done, what NYC Can has done, what InfoWars has done, what so many people that have come and spoken out about what happened. Now is the time to do it, and I really appreciate you, Alex, having me on the show.
Oh, Manny, we appreciate you, but listen, you're a tireless voice for liberty and freedom, and if we don't bring these murderers to justice, you're right, they'll continue to commit all these other crimes. But what I wanted to ask you about with this is, what is the procedure going to be if they just refuse the signatures or try some type of chicanery? Even that will be a victory because then it will beg the question, why are they refusing to do this, even when law says if we have these petitions, this happens?
Exactly. Home Rule Law 37 under the New York City Charter allows for this to take place. If they begin to refuse it, we are looking for legal counsel. We do have some legal counsel, but we're always looking for more legal counsel to ensure that if they do try to say, hey, this is invalid, that we will continue to pursue this. This will not be stopped. The very fact that so many people now are informed about it, so many people have already signed that petition. I mean, we're in a city of 8 million people. To have 68,000 plus signatures already signed saying we need a new investigation, that just begs to say, hey, what if we had 100 petitioners or 200 petitioners going out showing New York City voters this petition? How many more signatures could we get? It shows that New York City understands that we were
told
the whole
story. Yeah, what have you got? 80%+ of New York, you know, that's what the New York Times poll said. Do you believe we've been lied to about 9/11? 84%, that was 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
3 years ago, 84% in a scientific poll. Look, we've won the war for 9/11 truth in that we've woken up the public. But the public all feels like they're by themselves. The public feels like they're the minority. We're the majority. And look at how more and more about government-sponsored terror comes out. And now the chief counsel of the 9/11 Commission comes out and says, we made a deal with the Pentagon to lie about what really happened. I mean, we're this close to exposing these murderers. Manny, do you think the people that carried out the attacks ever thought that I would stand up, that you would stand up, that so many others would stand up and speak out?
I think they might have had that inclination, though I do want to say that they never knew the strength and the power of what we bring. And that's truth. And that's justice. And that's more than anything that they could ever throw up against us. The fact that we have over 60 family members that have already signed a statement of support, the fact that we have first responders and survivors signing our statement of support, that list is building every single day, every single hour. Okay, there are people that know what happened. They want a true investigation. You can't stop that. You can't stop liberty. This is true liberty. This is something that we were all conditioned to grow up with to say, hey, you know what? You live in the United States of America, free America. Well, guess what? We have an opportunity now to really bring that to the public, to bring it to the voting booth, to bring
Manny,
it to
briefly,
where it's got to go.
Absolutely. Manny, briefly. Tell folks about what happened with you because you're lost family. You're able to go to these meetings, specifically the names of the meetings and dealing with these whitewash kangaroo trials of supposed Al-Qaeda people from Gitmo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. I'm actually going to send to you an article, Alex, and I just want to say to everyone listening to send articles in when these things happen because this is news that needs to get out to the public. This is not something that the public hears about. We are way too much about celebrity and other related nonsense. The fact is, I was in a meeting with the Military Commission's prosecution team a couple of days ago, and we were sitting in a meeting in New York, and the Military Commission's prosecution team gave the family members that attended a list of different charges that are going to be brought against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Because they want to say they've got your support. They want to be able to say in the media, oh, the family likes kangaroo trials, as if you're not for kangaroo trials and the end of freedom in America and the end of the Bill of Rights, you're with Al-Qaeda. Stay there, Manny. Tell folks what happened when we get back. This is amazing and important and newsworthy info. He's sending us an article in the next few days to post at InfoWars.com. You'll hear it here first when we come back. Jam a few of your patient calls. M4G Everett Griffin joins us for balance of transmission. Hey, just side issue before we get into this briefly, what you saw with the military commission's meeting is they try to legitimize the joke they're carrying out because you can't just stage the attack. You've then got to stage trials of innocent people, and that's now coming out. What do you think of it coming out? Obama's chief science advisor admitting the whole end game and sterilization and poisoning the water and taking people's kids and a planetary government. I mean, these people mean business.
They mean more than business, Alex. This is something that's been taking place well before even the Obama administration got into power. This has been taking place in our government, in the clandestine government that operates behind the public government that we are aware of. This has been taking place for decades, okay?
Yes.
I was in the military myself. I know what goes on. And the fact is that when we hear things on through the mainstream media, we have got to look at that critically, and we have got to go to the sources and find out what are they really telling us. And when I went into this military commission's hearing for the family members, I knew I was already told by other family members that went there that they're going to just try to fluff it up, and they're going to try to. Well, you know what, Alex? It was a textbook example of what propaganda is. The verbiage that they used with the family members, the fact that they called people evil and they called the people that they were no good and that they were out to kill us and that they want to continue to kill us.
So in a supposed supposed jury-type situation. They're using terms like evil and bad, and they're guilty.
Well, they're explaining to the family members. They give us a packet of the charges. They give us a number of documents that are going to support their case when they get to Guantanamo. They're defending the military commissions as opposed to going through federal courts. They're saying we have a very strong case. And, Alex, I'm going to tell you something. I asked questions that nobody in that room was asking, and I literally was shocked at how they couldn't answer some of these questions. On this list they gave us, they mentioned a lot of issues when it comes to the four people that they're prosecuting, and then Mohammed Atta and the hijacker, alleged hijackers and related. And I see Osama bin Laden's name mentioned. So I asked the direct question, what evidence do we have against Osama bin Laden? There was a pause. And I want to tell you, this pause happened many a times to the questions I was asking.
And by the way, for those that don't know, the FBI doesn't even list him on the most wanted for 9/11. He is not even listed for 9/11.
Well, that was what was brought up because I had mentioned that. I said, what evidence do you have against him? They just got finished saying that the FBI helped them out tremendously, that they helped them out so much in gathering the evidence. I said, what evidence do you have against Osama bin Laden? I said, because the FBI website does not even mention that he's wanted for 9/11. Another great long pause. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people on the prosecution, you tried to answer at the same time. They got flustered, and they were saying, where did you hear that from? And where did you get that from? And I'm like, let me ask you this. How come Mohammed Atta, the transfer that he received from the ISI chief, about a year before 9/11, how come that's not mentioned in here? How come you're not bringing evidence into this case that would put foreign governments, you know, in a position where, hey, they have to begin to answer questions what happened? They were silent, okay? They couldn't answer about, I asked them about Sybil Edmonds, Alex. When I asked them about Sybil Edmonds, I said, what about the evidence that she's brought up? Are you going to use this in the trial? They had the gall to state every family member that they have no idea who Sybil Edmonds is. Meanwhile, she worked as a translator. These are people, and I'm going to tell you this, Alex. When I mentioned Sybil Edmonds, one of the gentlemen that was on this prosecution team went to the rest of them and said, Malvis. That's closed, meaning they knew exactly who she was.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute. This is Keys. Back in 1 minute. All right, we just got a few minutes left with Manny Badillo. Then we've got the legend fighting the New World Order. G. Edward Griffin joining us for the balance of the hour, and the folks that have been holding, you're going to talk to Griffin. So we saved the best for last. You get to hold, but get to talk to him. We all want to hear from everybody and appreciate folks that I meant to get the calls earlier in the hour. I was just covering all the eugenics news, never got around to some of those calls. Going back to Manny Badillo. Okay, so you're in this meeting. Tell us where it was, what was happening. You're writing an article for Infowars.com we're going to get very, very soon. Just make sure I don't miss that when it comes. In fact, ballpark, when are we getting that article so we can post it, Manny?
You're going to be getting that within the next couple of days. I'm still waiting to hear back from some of the prosecution team that asked me to email them about this evidence, which could very easily be found by simple internet searches.
Well, they always say that. We didn't know that bin Laden had been CIA. It's just BBC, AP, Reuters. But we didn't know NORAD stood down that day, and there were drills of hijacked jets flying into the buildings. But all that aside, where were you? You got invited. What else did you ask them? Because you told us in the end they were telling you, shut up.
Yeah, essentially they were saying, listen, where did you get that from? You email us. That's it. It comes down to this. I brought up the fact that the case that the family members brought all the way to the Supreme Court that the Supreme Court refused to listen to as of last week, 7,000 family members with the evidence against Saudi Arabia. I asked them if they're going to strong of a case they would have had if they had that evidence. I also said to them 70% of our questions were never answered during the commission. Is this going to be another sham trial that the family members then have to go through and then expect to have some sort of justice? And I said to them this, I said, does anybody here really feel that it was only five people that did this? Silence. Alex, there had to be at least four or five times of silence, and that's why it's so important that the mission of NYCCan.org is accomplished. You have
exactly,
to
but and we'll have you back on about that, but I want to continue in the limited time with this. because talking to you over the phone, my producer said that you also said that at one point they just said, look, be quiet, shut up, we've heard enough from you. Where did you hear this information?
Exactly. They were asking me where it came from. I was telling them this is AP Reuters source. I was telling them this comes from intelligence agencies. The Indian Intelligence Agency actually spoke about
Did you tell him about Springman, the head of the visa in Saudi Arabia, and he's being told, let Ada and them in, they're CIA?
That I didn't have an opportunity to, but this is something else that I can continue to correspond with him on. I'm going to tell you something.
I mean, this is on record that the hijackers were all trained at U.S. military bases in super high clearance. That's AP. I mean, this is a fact. I mean, that the embassies wouldn't let them in, and they'd say, let them in. These are high-level operatives. Yes, sir. Ooh. I mean, case closed. They did it. It's over.
And case closed this. I actually, and I commented a few times to a few of my close friends about how that the next night I was on a conference call with Candace Gorman. She is one of the defendants of three of the people that are being accused during the sham 9/11 trial that's taking place starting this week down in Guantanamo. So I listened to her conference call. I had an opportunity to ask questions there, and I said, what type of facts is the government bringing up, and how do you feel you can successfully defend them? She goes, I know I can defend them because there are no facts they're bringing up. It's all hearsay. So, you know, I thought about this, Alex. I was one of maybe 6 billion people in the world that got to hear both the prosecution side, the defense side. And the week before going to trial, with the exception of our clandestine intelligence agencies, I got to understand a hell of a lot more about how this is going to take place. This is going to be something that the media is going to report on here and there because they don't want us to critically think about what happened.
It's going to be a total kangaroo. You also told us that they admitted they have no evidence, but Obama admits that. He says they may be found not guilty, but we're still going to keep them. I mean, that's freedom.
Well, this is what happens. We have the Military Commissions Act. We have the Patriot Act. We have all these different acts which are constantly suffocating Americans' rights and the Constitution. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to stand up and do something about it like you, myself, and so many others are doing? Or are we going to sit back and say, okay, let them do this? No.
Now Manny Badillo, you are a badass for freedom. I know you got some secret stuff you can't talk about right now, but we'll have you on next week or at the end of the week after that. Big announcement happens. Keep it up. You're going to bring the murderers to justice. We're right beside you and right behind you. Go with God. Vaya con Dios.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
There goes Manny Badillo, folks. We'll be right back with G. Edward Griffin. Don't want to miss that.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Edward Griffin with Freedom Force International. He's an icon in the liberty and freedom movement, the anti-New World Order movement. In fact, he's probably the greatest living person out there who continually, on a large scale, on a big platform, has made scores of films, presentations, best-selling books, Creature from Jekyll Island, traveling the country, the world, fighting the globalist. And we stand on his shoulders today, but he also stands right beside us because he's still fighting more than ever. He's a great gentleman and very articulate. And I'm very excited that he's going to be interviewed in my newest Obama film. He is the last interview for this film that has 14 interviews right now. And one of them is a big surprise interview. I'm going to leave till right before it's released. But just so many great people in this film. And so we're very excited about that. Also, Jason Burmes is going out there to interview him. He's going to be in Burmes' film Invisible Empire with a big role in that, exposing kind of the architecture of the New World Order. But this just broke over the weekend. WorldNet Daily's kind of copied our story, which we're glad. All we care about is exposing it. The original place was Front Page Magazine in February, but nobody believed it because David Horowitz is somewhat discredited. But we got the actual textbook, and we have the scans of it, and it's up on Infowars.com. Obama's science advisor called for planetary regime to enforce totalitarian population control, implants to control us, CPS taking all children at birth, a planetary government of green police, forced drugging of the water, and of the food. And this is a government plan. The book is, as you see on screen at prisonplanet.tv, Ecoscience, Population, Resources, Environment. And this was, he co-wrote this with Paul R. Ehrlich, who was one of Bush's chief advisors. So this is bipartisan. But Front Page Magazine and the neocons are acting like it's a liberal issue, though I have to admit the Democrats are more overtly eugenicists. You know, Margaret Sanger is praised by the black community because she called blacks subhuman. That's the sick, twisted, crate like Schwarzenegger gets ADL awards because he says he wants to be like Hitler. But if you fight Hitler, then the ADL attacks you. Reality is much stranger than fiction, as they say. So I wanted to get G. Edward Griffin out of the gates to talk about this, but overall, the big eugenics agenda, the plan, the carbon tax, which we couldn't see till they passed it, home inspections, federal zoning, one-child policies. I have USA Today here in my stack that says that, in fact, put it on screen for folks, that says that, oh, the bad economy's good for the carbon footprint, command destruction, how they want to bring us back to a rewilding, a neo-feudalism, a serfdom. G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, thanks for being here with us.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Alex. I really appreciate that very kind introduction, but it scares the heck out of me because I think people expect too much.
No brag, just fact. That's what John Wayne said. And people need to know the testament of the great work you've done in 40-plus years. In fact, briefly, how long have you been fighting the globalist? How'd you wake up to them? And then let's get into eugenics.
Well, the actual year of my beginning of awakening was 1959. And that's when I began to read some things that were, upstream, that not the same stuff that I was seeing on the media. And by 1960, I was in full swing. So I've been in this thing since 1960.
Amazing. So we're talking about almost 50 years.
Yeah, really.
Time flies. You know, I hope I look as good as you when I'm your age. You're a...
What a gentleman you are.
No, you're a handsome devil.
I want to send you a pair of glasses in the morning. But
okay, and we're going to fire out your website coming out in a few minutes, so folks, you get ready for that. You have Freedom Force International taking action against these globalists. But eugenics, I mean, in my research, everything leads to that. Our entire society is built for a social engineering grid. Break that down from your 60 years of research and what their end game is in light of this government textbook, internal textbook, it's now come out, written by Bush's advisor and Obama's advisor, calling for a planetary government to kill us.
Well, I had two thoughts as you were introducing the topic. And one of the thoughts is that even though I was not aware of this very latest development which you announced, it does not surprise me in the least because it's just more of the same. So the first thought has to do with if you understand what the ideology is of these people who have been running our government for many years, it's called collectivism. And if you understand what that entails, then you know right away what these people are going to do, because that's based upon their ideology. The ideology is that they must have total control over the entire population to manipulate it in any way they see fit, always in the name of for the greater good of the greater number, always supposedly for your own good, but with absolute dominance at the top. And so once you understand that's their mindset and that they think that that's a very good thing, well, then you can predict what's going to happen. They're going to want to control not only your health, but your reproductive rights. They'll control who will survive and who will be exterminated. They'll control what you do for a living, where you live, how much you eat, what you think, you know, all of these things, because you become a cog in a giant machine. So the first thought that crossed my mind was that, here comes eugenics again. That's always happened in every collectivist regime on this planet, whether it be communism or fascism and Nazism or some of these other isms in Asia and Africa right now. That's part of the animal. It's what it does. The other thought is, you mentioned it, is that this is not a partisan issue at all. You'll find this mentality in both the Republican and the Democrat parties because both parties are dominated by collectivists. So one of the things we have to do is strip out that concept that Republicans and Democrats oppose each other on anything significant. So those are the thoughts that cross my mind. And, you know, once people get the picture of this and they understand that collectivism is the great destroyer of their freedom, then they won't fall for this nonsense about, well, are they Republicans or are they Democrats doing this?
I want you to elaborate on this, because you have these big monopoly capitalists who always advertise their free market, but really what they want is big governments, big systems to shut down their competition to bring in control. And then because they are collectivists, they collect our wealth and give it to themselves and then use the little bit they give back to us to domesticate us. Then why should they even want us here in their collectivist model of everything shared? Well, they want to get rid of people so there's more for the few that are left. This is their whole social engineering goal.
Well, there is a certain element of that in their thinking. They do want to limit the population because they're afraid that if the population gets too large, it becomes unmanageable. Their primary concern is how to manage the population. It's like a herd of cattle. If the herd gets too big, you know, you have trouble managing it. It could break out of the boundaries out in the North 40 someplace. And so there's a certain element to keep the size of the herd down. But the other element is that they need workers. They want people out there producing and serving so that they can create all of the fine things of life which the elite will enjoy. They want a working class, and they want a servitude class.
And they want our women. So, I mean, they don't want to kill all of us, just 80%.
Well, I don't know what the number is, but whatever it is, they have no qualms about it. That's for sure.
Well, you know, the United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment 96 says a world population reduction of 80%. 80 is the number you get from Ted Turner and people. But some say even more, some say less.
Yeah. Whatever it is, if they wanted to reduce it 5%, the principle is the same.
Yeah, which is total dictatorial power.
Yeah, over who lives and who dies, just because of the numbers.
How would you say their program's going right now, watching it closely for 60 years? To me, watching it for 15 or so, it looks like they've got the power, they're steering things, but they don't have total control, and as they build their New World Order, it's falling apart as fast as they build it.
Well, yes, I can see elements of that. It's certainly not it's not all in the bag, that's for sure, but I see it as an accelerating process, and it worries the heck out of me because once the dam starts to break, and it looks to me like it's breaking up now, the pieces falling out start becoming larger, and they start falling faster, and so this great outpouring of water from behind the dam, when I say that, I'm thinking of our freedoms. Our freedoms are being flooded out through a huge breach in the dam, and it seems to be going faster and faster. And so I'm very concerned about that. We could come up with some event or series of events almost any day, which they could justify, they could use as justification for, you know, closing down on what's left of our freedoms. They're definitely planning to do that. It's just a question of when are they going to do it and what events are they going to use for that. But by the same token, as you say, it looks like their system is falling apart. There's certainly a lot of disagreement among them. There's a lot of infighting between them as to see who is going to have the ultimate power.
I guess that's part of it. They've got to destroy a lot of stuff to build the new system, where if they destroy everything, then only their central hubs are left. And so by extension, by the rule of heavenly bodies or gravitational pull, it will pull everything into it.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy, I think. And also, we have to remember that certain subgroups within the collectivist movement actually advocate conflict within their own ranks. Adolf Hitler was one of those who was quite adamant on that. He said, it's good that we fight within our ranks because only the strongest of us will survive, and we need only strong people in our movement. So there's a lot of that going on, too.
And I think that kind of actually pigeonholes them and trips them up a lot.
Well, let's hope it does. The point is, I think, to all of this is that we certainly cannot sit back and just wait for it to crumble, because they've got plans for us that we're not going to like. We have to fight this with everything we have.
Well, let's talk about what the plans are versus our plans, and also how you see the economic collapse, engineered or not, what's happening with the global carbon tax, what life will be like under that. I mean, this is the actual Soviet Union is what I'd call it we're going into. But we'll get G. Edward Griffin's take on that in just a moment. Stay with us. Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Ha-ha.
Watchmen.
G. Edward Griffin's our guest, icon in the fight for liberty. So excited about him in my new Obama film. I'll soon announce the name. And he's going to be in Burmese's Visible Empire film. So we're going out to California interviewing. Well, my team is. I'm going out to California separately right before they go for another interview. I'll just leave that unnamed. But going back to G. Edward Griffin in this short segment, I mean, there's so many questions. Your take on the banking implosion, Federal Reserve to get power over all industry, the green taxes, the carbon taxes, home inspections, federal zoning where it says they can just take your house, no judge, no jury. That's in there. I mean, it looks like on every front, federalization of water, gun control, they're moving on every front right now. Is this a bum rush where we're getting hit with so much? I mean, why are they moving so quick right now?
Well, I guess it's because they want to tie it up as quickly as possible, Alex. You know, they don't want to allow the people too much time to think about it and to develop opposition. And we get it all done. Right now, I think it's come to the end of, almost to the end of the honeymoon in the Obama administration. And, you know, in the first few months, they could do just about anything they wanted to. People would say, well, we don't know, give them a chance, let it work it out, and so forth. But they know that they didn't get too much done right away, that later on opposition might be developed to it. So I think that's part of it. And the other thing is it's got a lot more to do with this one administration versus another administration. Now, these people who are dreaming up this legislation and writing these laws, they're not thinking as Republicans or Democrats. They're thinking as globalist collectivists trying to create the new world order. That's their mission. They want to get that thing built. They want to get on with it, you know? That's their dream. And meanwhile, all the folks back here at home are still thinking in terms of these people, well, why would a good Republican do that? Or why would a good Democrat do that? You know, and they don't get it, that this has got nothing at all to do with partisan politics. So I think they're in a hurry so that the too many of the American people don't wake up and we get it all done.
Continue along that line, G. Edward Griffin.
Well, I don't know what more I could say about that, except that you know, we're living in a time where events are moving very rapidly. I guess people have always said that throughout history, but also I think that it's true that because of technology, things do move more rapidly as the years go by, and I think the time that they figure to wrap up the New World Order is definitely within this generation. It used to be, I think, that they were thinking in terms of, well, 2-3 generations down the line, we'll get it all done. But now I think they've decided it's this generation, which means within this 20-year time span, probably less than that. And so it's moving very rapidly. And, you know, we were talking just a moment ago about what can we turn this around? Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? What's going to happen? Everybody wants to, you know, think, what do I do? How do I prepare? What can I do for my family? All of these things. And nothing wrong with that kind of thinking. It's realistic thinking. But the main question is, are we going to win or are we going to lose? And my feeling is very strong on that, is that we are definitely going to win this battle because freedom will always win out. But the question, the annoying question, is how long will it take? Is it going to be by the next election? No, it's definitely not going to be the next election.
Yeah, how bad is it going to get? And one big problem with winning is people are in this instant gratification. Give me the Wendy's hamburger in 10 seconds or I'm angry. I catch myself even like this. It takes time to grow a orchard. It takes time to put in a garden. It takes time to build a new world order. It takes time to defeat it. And things are moving very quickly now. We're having great victories. People need to be more positive and realize things don't happen instantly. And I agree with you. We're going to win. The question is, how bad will it get? How many of us will be enslaved? And we talk about if they win, what is it like? It's like living under Joe Stalin with a high-tech overlay, isn't it, G. Edward Griffin?
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. Yes, high-tech overlay. A lot more effective means of controlling people, controlling their thoughts, controlling their health, their movement, and a lot more sophisticated weapons to put down opposition. Yeah, that's the high-tech overlay that makes it really scary. But yes, back to the theme, which is how long is it going to take? That's been one of the main points of Freedom Force International, is that we have the long view of history, and a lot of people get very impatient with that. I can understand that. I used to be impatient with that point of view when I was a young guy. I remember we were talking a moment ago, when did I start down this path? Well, back in 1960. And I remember back in the 60s, listening to some of the old-timers say, well, this is going to take quite a while to turn around. And I kept saying, the heck it is. Wait till I get in there. You know, I'll turn this thing around right away. Well, turns out that the old-timers were right. And
it turns out, hold on, 60 years is a blink of an eye, though. You've done a lot to start turning the ship. You have influenced tens of millions, G. Everett Griffin. Stay there, my friend. Quick break. We'll come right back with G. Everett Griffin. Hartman in there laughing at
him. Watch people's heads a roll.
Just like the Pied Piper, turn rats loose. The elite create their own crises. And then once you start playing to their tune, crank it up!
Just like the Pied Piper, let rats loose.
Go ahead and go back to G. Edward Griffin. G. Edward, fire out the website for folks who want to check out all your great films and books and videos and materials and people who want to get involved in Freedom Force International.
Well, how do they do that? I guess it's time to plug a couple of websites. Our commercial website, as you know, it's called The Reality Zone. And that's easy to remember, realityzone.com. We've got about 100 different items there, some of my books and video programs and audio recordings. Plus, we carry the good stuff from other people as well. But that's a commercial site, plenty of information. If you're a reader or you like to watch videos, there's enough there for almost a year of your time of study. But if you want to get involved in an organization that's trying to do something about it and trying to recapture control of our political system, then you want to go to the Freedom Force site, and that's freedomforceinternational.org. And I can't tell you too much about it because it takes too much time to tell you about it, except that there's a plan there to do something about it, to not just complain, not just to read another book, but to actually reacquire power over the political system of all of the countries.
That's right. We have to infiltrate the system like they've done to us.
I wouldn't say infiltrate. That's got a negative connotation to it. We should be there all the time anyway.
I agree, but I mean, they covertly infiltrated, and I think in a war, it's good to be overt, but if people choose to be covert, and we can send a lot of secret documents, and I mean, that is infiltration. That's the American people re-infiltrating their own government.
Well, I have to agree with the principal. We have to go back to where we should have been all along. When you've got self-government, you better be involved in government, not just turn it over to somebody else, because then it's not self-government anymore.
Well, I'll say this. The government that's out of control and illegitimate and owned by offshore banks publicly now in fraud, they act like we are criminal infiltrators if we try to go to a city council meeting or try to go hold a sign up on the street corner. Yeah. We all have to exercise that power or lose it.
That's right. We have to be in the political halls of the nation. You know, the motto, or the unofficial motto of Freedom Force is, don't fight City Hall when you can be City Hall. And that, you know, that sums it up. And I'm happy to say that our members all over the country are gradually getting the idea, and they're successfully moving into political groups.
And the system is worried. They're putting out reports going, there's police, there's military, there's these anti-Federal Reserve people. They're everywhere. They might get us. Oh, no.
Well, they might become mayors of cities. They may become members of city councils. They may become elected to state positions. They may become chiefs of police. Who knows? They may actually recapture control of their own system. That's the whole idea.
Oh, we don't want to do that. And throw
well,
out the evil
better.
Mayors who are on offshore payrolls publicly. You know, one thing, not just getting back into government and the system, but also surveilling corrupt politicians legally. I mean, most of these guys are really corrupt. You'll catch them with hookers, gambling, stealing, weird stuff. If you just go out and surveil corrupt people, folks, they're doing evil.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good people are just at home barbecuing, hanging out with the family. These globalists are all scum, and they're all degenerates. You don't do bad things in life unless you're overall bad. And, you know, I say play hardball with them, too.
Well, yeah, and it's partly the nature of the beast, this thing we call government. We've allowed it to grow and grow and become more powerful. And whenever you've got a center of power like that, it's a magnet for the criminal class or the predator class. People who want to take advantage of others just instinctively gravitate to something like that. So part of our long-range strategy for success and victory that we were talking about is to dismantle that magnet so that it won't attract that criminal class anymore.
Yeah, if there's not a big government, there's no power mass or levers for a psycho or control freak to get control of it. We build these giant government systems. They're going to be taken over by crooks if they weren't built by them to begin with.
That's right. So people haven't thought that all the way through. They think that the solution to corruption in government is to make government stronger. More investigations, more laws, and so forth. And that's just the opposite of the solution, that structure should start to be dismantled, and all of these tools that they have for controlling the lives of its citizens need to be just eliminated.
Then citizens will automatically start killing snakes in their own backyards instead of calling the government to do it.
Yeah.
And then citizens will start putting up their own fences and start learning how to defend themselves and start... And then the wealth and money and ideas go back into the free market. Instead of, I look at the general public, they're totally domesticated.
Yeah.
I'm domesticated controlled to my dad, compared to my dad. He's domesticated compared to his dad. I mean, we really are becoming weaklings.
Yeah, well, that's been part of the strategy. And it's interesting to me because over the years I've had had a chance to study some of the more esoteric literature by these people. You know, the deep thinkers, the scholars on the collectivist side, you don't run into their names often, but they've written books, they've given speeches and lectures, and some of them are in academia, and they wax eloquent about how wonderful it would be to domesticate the human race and breed out of them all of these aggressive instincts, as they say, you know, and to convert the human animal into a productive and kind and gentle thing. And, of course, they say if they have to kill a few million people along the way to do that, torture a few, well, it's okay. The end justifies the means. You see. It's really amazing how they justify these things.
Well, the truth is when you really meet these liberal collectivists, and they're not really liberal, but that's what they usually are hiding under that mantle.
No, they're
it's like, yes, we're going to have to kill a lot. And you see them kind of going, you know, just getting off on it. And the truth is they're killer apes in their own view.
Yeah.
They're just high-functioning psychos who act like they're these egalitarians, and really, they're just a bunch of lunatic control freaks that need to be dealt with.
Yeah, I think they're certainly true. A lot of them just like that. They may look very meek and mild and be wearing bifocals, but there is a killer instinct there, yeah.
And we've got to re-harness our killer instinct for defense. That's the problem. I found really intelligent, overconfident, nice, friendly people are gregarious, good-natured, don't want to get involved. We kind of just sit back, and then there's these little greedy, weak people who want to get in the power and then hate those of us that are strong. And I found that to be the secret to eugenics, is they sell it to the strong as, oh, we're just going to make the strong and the healthy have more of the world, which is bad enough because it always leads to evil. But in truth, they're actually targeting the strong.
Well, yeah, they're targeting... the strength or the weakness of an individual has nothing to do with their plan, even though they say that it does. The what their plan is focused on is the ideological orientation of the individual. Strong or weak, if they support their collectivist agenda, then they are to be defended and preserved. If they're opposed to the collectivist agenda, then they're alleged to be defective and must be eliminated. So strength or weakness is measured primarily in terms of the degree to which individuals support their agenda.
But like an animal farm, when the big stallion workhorse breaks his back trying to make more money for the pigs, then they load him up and sell him to the glue factory. So they also, at the same time, do hate the beautiful, the smart, the intelligent. Most of these eugenicists are like goblin-like creatures who want to pull everything down.
Yeah, they get to be very analytical about society. They look at the human being as a machine, something to be controlled and directed, and, you know. In fact, my mind just went back to that famous line attributed to the Rothschilds. I had it in my book, but it said the rulers of society, and they were referring indirectly to the Rothschilds in this sense, they look at man as a machine and woman as a toy. I thought, boy, yeah, that's quite an egalitarian view of the world, I would say. But they certainly do look at men as machines to be controlled and put to work, and if they don't work well, then destroy them.
Yeah, programmed. Well, I want to take a few calls for J. Edward Griffin, Ronnie, Rob, Adam, Greg, and Chris, and that'll be it. We can take those five, sorry to the others. But I wanted just to get your view on the carbon tax. This is wildly unpopular. I think it's going to blow up in their face, not letting anybody read the bill, 300 pages of it. Now we've got it, and they're trying to pass the Senate. Federal home inspectors and selective carbon taxes on who they want. It's like Obama selectively deciding who can keep their dealerships. I mean, we're really seeing a takeover, and the gas, the honeymoon is running out quick on this guy.
Well, yes, and I certainly agree that people are fed up with all of it, and this just is like another straw on the camel's back, but I'm not so sure about whether they're going to not be allowed to continue, because, you know, these people really don't care what the American people think right now. They've come to the point where they just sort of go ahead anyway. I mean, this whole issue of global warming is a perfect example. I would say that about a year or a year and a half ago, if you were to poll the average citizen out there, the overwhelming majority of them would say, oh, yes, we've got global warming. Yes, it's something that's very serious, and we've got to do something about it. But now, with all of the scientific evidence that has come out and all of the obvious fact of global cooling that's been taking place for about a year now, I think if you poll the average person, they'd say, yeah, there's a bunch of bunk. There's no global warming going on at all. And these guys just want to use that as an excuse to have a tax and have more power. That's the drift of the thinking. But does it stop? Does it stop Congress? Does it stop the Senate?
And that's the key.
The president? And no, it doesn't even slow them down. They don't give a damn what the American people think. They've got their own agenda, and they have the power to execute it. So that should be a wake-up call for people.
Well, but that's the key, is that they do just ignore us on every front. And it's clear they've made the decision to go ahead and push us into revolution. That's what their paramilitary Northcom's ready for. They've told the police, get ready, the vets, the gun owners are going to attack you. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling process to further destroy the country. I'm not saying they're going to go with that, but if they can goad us into physical conflict, all the better for them. It's just another form of problem, reaction, solution. Your comments on that?
Well, yes, I think that they have anticipated that long ago, that inevitably it would come to an uprising. And so they started to prepare for it, and I think they came to the point about maybe a year and a half ago, where they think that the sooner the better. Let's get on with it. Let's close the gate. Let's have a good excuse for bringing about martial law. Yeah, let's goad people into the streets. Let's get them, wild-eyed, full of revolt. You know, people don't understand the difference between a revolt and a revolution. Revolts never succeed. Revolutions sometimes succeed. And the difference between the two, is that revolutions have leadership. They're usually conducted by governmental units within a governmental entity.
They have manifestos. They have creeds.
They have,
it's an idea.
Training, funding, communications, a strategy. They have everything. Whereas you know, just plain revolt is where people throw up their hands and say, I'm sick and tired, I'm not going to put up with it anymore, and they grab their musket and go out in the street. Well, they're easily mowed down. I mean, the American Revolution was not a revolt. It was a revolution. It was fought by the Continental governments. The colonies had their militia, they had their training, their leaders, their ammunition, they had strategy, you know, funding, they had all of that.
But and they had a code, and they had a manifesto.
Yes, but they had leadership. Their leaders in the colonial representative governments declared on their behalf and so forth. Now, you can argue with some of that, but the point is that it was organized.
Today, and that also lended legitimacy.
Yes, today these revolts that are... people are urging on the American people are just suicidal. That just makes me sick to see it.
Well, I actually think a revolt's going to chew up a lot of military and police, but the globalists don't care. That will then make the government the victim, and then the real oppression comes in.
Yeah.
And that's why I always see these federal operatives trying to hype it, but they never get in trouble. Folks, if you're not a federal operative and you call for violence, they come after you. But they have people out there always calling for violence and saying, why doesn't Alex call for violence? He's a coward. Those are feds, folks. Guaranteed. They want to prematurely have us launch our revolution. We need to let the enemy's abuses continue to pile up while we continue to peacefully wake up the people until the government itself, many people in it, don't want to go along with it. And we're already starting to see that, G. Edward.
I'm glad to hear that. I was not aware of that, but it's good news.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and take a call. Ronnie in Texas, you're on the air with G. Edward Griffin, author of Creature from Jekyll Island. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. About A Creature from Jekyll Island, I've just given copies to the new mayor, Leffingwell. He's sharing it with Mike Martinez and my sisters, other friends at the farmer's market and stuff. Your copies of your book.
Yeah.
It's so phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
And I've yet to thank... Oh, I'm trying to thank you. I'm so honored to hear your voice, and you can hear me. I've yet to get feedback, but I have, in effect, been banned from the city council. I'm sure you have experience with that, Mr. Jones. But... OBGYN, Dr. Ron Paul, Revolution of Love for Liberty in Our Sacred Constitution, through the campaignforliberty.com, just keeps on keeping on. I had to throw that in there. But about what you were saying earlier, elitism is at the core of all of this, bigotry and elitism. And so eugenics is fundamentally evil, and it's one of our main problems in defeating eugenics is the fact that there is some truth in what they say about human overpopulation. I mean, the population of humans on Earth has more than doubled in my lifetime. And thus, it is a real challenge for survival in the future. But I also agree with you, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Watson, your previous guest, that the killing people is not the answer. Obviously, there are no guarantees.
Well, here's the deal. Even if you think we're overpopulated, which actually is disinfo at many levels, some of the technologies are dirty and bad and have problems and need to be perfected or improved on. The issue is all this eugenics isn't about population. It's about control. It's about restricting. It's about feudalism. It's about serfdom. It's about a top-down, vertically integrated global government. And it's about controlling human destiny and dumbing the mass down. I appreciate your call. The eugenicists are actually trying to dumb people down to make them more manageable. G. Edward Griffin?
Well, yeah, no question about it. And I think this issue of overpopulation needs to be focused on. The evidence is very strong that in advanced societies, the population now is decreasing. Only in parts of the world is it increasing. I believe
so the answer is you increase the technology, and they all know that. G. Edward Griffin, final segment straight ahead. Stay with us. Riveting info. Segment, and I got all these loaded phone lines here. I want to try to get to everybody. Rod in Kentucky, you're on the air with G. Edward Griffin. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex. Mr. Griffin, I want to say it's a pleasure to talk to you also. I use your CD, The Creature from Jekyll Island, as one of the intro packs I give to people to introduce them, to let them know what's going on.
Okay.
The main reason I call today is I just wanted to let you know, Alex, about the soft kill weapons, that I think one of the main things you stressed on it this morning is I went to the doctor, had a complete panel run, all blood tests. Everything was absolutely perfect. You know, I don't drink tap water, stuff like that. However, my testosterone level was 225 nanograms a deciliter. The average male It's supposed to be 5 to 550. You don't start reaping the health benefits till 6 to 800. Now then, even if your blood panels and everything are good, if you live from middle age on with low testosterone, you are at greater, much greater risk for heart attack, stroke, and prostate cancer. Now then, do you think it's possible that they could be doing things already to lower the male testosterone? Of course, I went immediately on therapy to replace my levels.
No. Paul Watson, I mean, the reason people are polite in Texas is just 50, 60 years ago, if you were rude to somebody, they'd kill you. And now men just aren't as angry. They aren't as focused, or it's a fake type of, you know, masculineness. But armed societies or polite societies, our testosterone is lower. Our sperm counts are way lower. Paul Watson has an article where they're putting chemicals in the water at prisonplanet.com. Let me get a comment from G. Edward Griffin on that. This engineering of the society, there's a lot of evidence to that. Your take on it?
Well, my take on it is that, like everybody else, it just makes a lot of sense, and you can see the evidence of it as you go. I haven't really checked out the science myself, Alex, like you have, or Watson, but it just makes a lot of sense. And, again, once we understand the big picture and what these people are trying to do, then it's almost a perfect litmus paper test that you can use to come to a preliminary judgment anyway as to whether something is true or false. You do have to run it down and you know, clarify it and check it out yourself. But you have a pretty good feeling for whether something is true or false when you understand how well it fits in with the overall plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Chris in Maryland. You're on the air with G. Edward Griffin and InfoWars.com. Go ahead.
Hey, I had a question for you because I was talking to some fellows about this issue. But I did some reading on one of the websites a lot like yours where they had said that in the United States, down in the state of Alabama, they found a compound with trucks that had markings that looked a lot like they were Russian, and they were supposed to be drilling them to do civil disobedience and anti-riot.
No, let me explain. This is an old urban legend that's been around since the mid-90s. This is how they debunk us. The United States government and others and some private companies bought tons of cheap Eastern Bloc surplus, and I know people in Bastrop, you know, who collect them, and they got a U.S. one, a British one, a Russian one. And so people show that and say it's a Russian invasion, a bunch of 1970s rotting equipment. The real invasion is public deals signed to use Canadian, Mexican troops and others to quell civil disturbances. That's mainstream news, but nobody will ever focus on it. Toronto Star, Associated Press, Vigilant Guardian, the national level exercise going on now is with troops from 14 governments. That's Homeland Security site. But nobody will get into the real admitted stuff. Instead, they talk about what they heard or what they saw. I appreciate your call. I'm not saying you're a bad caller. I'm just correcting that. G. Edward Griffin, your comments on that?
Well, again, I'm stuck with saying what you said, Alex. It's certainly true. You get a lot of disinformation out there, and unfortunately, people will run with it because it has the grains of truth. But no, you're absolutely right. The real threat is not from a bunch of old Russian trucks sitting in a lot for sale someplace. It's from the existing government and our treaties with other countries, Canada and Mexico in particular.
G. Edward, we're out of time. God bless you. Retransmission starts now.